So your home didn't sell the first time. Are you fed up? It's time to make a change. Hire the Selling with CC team to get your home sold. We like houses to sell, not sit. To schedule an appointment, go to sellingwithcc.com.
Keller Williams, Jacksonville Realty.
Hey, thanks for stopping by. Glad you're along for the ride. Not very happy. You like Tyler Devitt?
I do like Tyler.
Do you like Tyler?
I absolutely like Tyler.
Look.
And I would say don't shoot the messenger.
You know, Tom Crean doesn't like him. Do you know that? Jim Harbaugh's brother-in-law doesn't like him. Did you know
Tom
that?
Crean.
But he doesn't like Tyler. Okay.
Okay.
Tyler, you near a mic in there? Put the mic. Okay, get the mic in there.
I'm here.
Tom Crean doesn't like you, right?
Not very much.
He doesn't like you. Okay. Well, now I don't like you. Okay. And you're one of the nicest guys we've ever brought in the building, so it's kind of odd. But I was minding my own business a minute ago. Were you watching this whole thing?
I did. I saw it all play out.
And by the way, Tyler loved the Saturday show. I heard he did a great job, by the way.
Thank you.
I still don't like you. Tyler chooses to tell me that Andrew McCutchen's going to the Phillies. Now, Tyler, being a good guy, thought I'd want to know, right? Because it just happened.
He's trying to help out.
Yeah, he's trying to help out. I hate the Phillies, Tyler. Did you know that?
I did not, and I probably should have assumed that.
Yeah, they're on the eastern part of the state, okay? Did you know at any point in your life you were from the Midwest, did you know the eastern part of the state is still communist? Did you know that at any point?
I kind of confused east and west a little bit, Frank. I should have known that.
Communism used to be like Russia, Czechoslovakia, Cuba, and Philadelphia. Not everybody knew that. It's a little known. We in the western part knew that, okay? So I just want you to know you can leave now. You're a wonderful guy. You do a great job on the show. You got a real future in this business, and I'm not sure I like you anymore.
Just I hope it doesn't bring down your show because that is some bad news for you.
It is bad news.
This is sort of reminiscent of the day we were in the old building when Marte got suspended.
Remember that?
Gibby told Gibby.
I still don't like Gibby.
So upset,
okay, Gibby. I still don't like you. If you notice, I barely speak to Gibby. Okay, I mean, Gibby told me about the Marte suspension. Remember that? I still barely speak
and
to Gibby.
And it was so, Gibby was, so, and Tyler was too, so innocent. Just, you know, relaying some information.
You know what? Look, it's not always an easy business here, okay? Sometimes you take a beating, and again, Tyler, just so you know, I still don't speak to Gibby, okay? Just so it's clear about that.
I wouldn't either.
No, I'm kidding. So, Andrew McCutchen, that's not the most important part of our show today, signed with the Phillies.
In all seriousness, I didn't know this. So do the Pirates and Phillies actually have a rivalry?
Because when they were in the East, yes. Back in the day, it was a fantastic rivalry when they were both in the old NL East. Mm-hmm. Now that they're not in a division together, there's not a rivalry. We kid about it, but there's not. There's a great – and again, because I'm not really from up there, you know, I'm from here. You know, my family's all up there, so I kind of fake it and act like I know more than I do sometimes. So it's not a big – people that live up there or are truly from there can tell you more about it than I can. It was a fun rivalry when they were in there together. I don't really dislike the Phillies. In fact, I really kind of like
it. So this doesn't affect McCutchen's, like, legacy in Pittsburgh signing with the Phillies.
Not at all. Not at all. So, and the truth is it's cool that he got a big deal because he's an all-world good guy. And he single-handedly, Hayes, elevated the Pirates from one of the ugliest abyss of all time into the postseason. And I will tell people that 2013 season the Pittsburgh Pirates had, when Russell Martin got there and was their leader, and A.J. Burnett, who had been shunned everywhere else, got there, and he was this badass. It taught him how to be tough. And Neil Walker, the local kid, became the star. They called him the Pittsburgh Kid, and McCutchen became one of the best players in baseball. Pittsburgh people will love – Pirates fans like me, that 2013 season, one of the greatest seasons of all time. Didn't even win a playoff series, but to us, the Cueto game and beating the Reds in that one game and then taking the Cardinals to five games – So, but McCutchen was a big part of that. So, but I honestly thought he was going to wind up back in San Francisco. But he didn't play very well there. You know what I hope? Joking aside, I hope he freaking wins a Triple Crown. That's what I really hope. Because he's an all-world good guy. But that one just stunned me a little bit. I didn't see it. I don't need to hear that 1 minute before I crack the mic here in Duval.
Yeah, obviously.
Okay, not fun, a happy moment for me. Before I went on the air, just so you folks know, I blamed Tyler. I blamed Hayes, and now I blame Gibby. Not for any real reason, okay? And if Tara was still here, I'd blame her. Okay,
yeah.
So there you go. So I talked to Tara today, by the way. She's having a wonderful time at Disney.
Okay.
And so they're having a big time, so we caught up with
Has there lines. Been anything so far in the winter meetings that surprised you? Are you surprised Harper is still out there?
Some of the things that were talked about but didn't happen surprised me a little bit. Gibby, who was it that wanted Eovaldi to be a reliever? Someone wanted him as a closer? What are you thinking?
Yeah.
This guy could win 16 games next year.
How many times did he throw over 100, too, this year is pretty incredible.
Yeah, so I think that – I think the slowness of the market has surprised me a little bit. I thought by now we'd have an idea where Harper and Machado were going. So that surprises me a little. It is a slow market, man. I think this $197 million threshold that everyone's trying to stay under, I think when the figures come out, it's not going to be much higher. So I think you're going to see the same thing again. So I think that surprised me a little bit. I love the baseball. And the winter meetings officially just started now. They just so now is when the movement really does happen. But, yeah, it's going to be a slow market. I think it is.
Verducci had a really good column on Dallas Keuchel,
right,
about how pitchers that pitch to contact are not getting any sort of market at all. No. And when you look at his resume, usually, you know, 5 years ago,
right,
he'd have been the first starter signed, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of momentum that anybody really wants him, you know, despite the fact that, you know, he's accomplished a lot, and it's not like he's at the end of the line or anything,
right,
but everybody wants the strikeouts.
James Paxton and Patrick Corbin, were the top two lefties on the market because they throw 1,000 miles an hour and they throw four seamers up, and that's exactly right. And people, because what's happened now, and I'm not, and Daniel Murphy can explain it way better than I can because he did it with us the one day.
Yeah, that was unbelievable.
But the it's a pretty simple equation. You don't have to know baseball to understand this. The launch angle era, which we are in, means the bat starts lower in the zone. You with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
It's not level. To launch angle, it means it finishes up high. That means the bat starts lower in the zone. Pitch to contact guys or sinker or two seam guys, they throw low. So you throw slower and lower, again, in this launch angle era where the bat starts lower and people swing harder, they turn into home runs. They used to be rollover ground outs to shortstop. Now they're home runs. So how do you get out the guys that swing harder and the bat starts lower? You throw harder and higher, and they can't catch up with it. So the hard, high guys are now all the value. That's all it is. It's not rocket science. People think, I don't understand all the metrics. Well, I just explained it the way a fifth grader could understand it. The bat starts lower, and the guys that throw slow throw low. They throw slow and low. And that's why Keuchel, who's really a good pitcher, he's a competitor, he's kind of a gritty guy, but that's why a guy like Keuchel would have a tough time. So a lot of things to get to today on the program. I'm done talking about Andrew McCutchen, but I just, again, Tyler, don't ever do that again. Don't ever tell me that again. Hayes, don't ever let that happen again. Okay, so
This, by the way, the Rays stadium proposal falling apart?
Wasn't that something? Now, I would think, and by the way, at Christmas I'm going to be down there. My brother-in-law, and even more than that, my nephew, is a diehard Rays fan. I mean diehard Rays fan. And this will devastate them. They were waiting for that Ybor City thing. What I don't know yet, Gibby, is this Sternberg lobbying? Is this a positioning play? When you come out, when the owner of a team comes out and publicly says the deal is dead, is the deal really dead, or is he positioning? Now, Shad came out and said the Wembley deal was dead. It was dead, right? So, Gibby, what do you think? I'll give you the stage here. Do you think it all the time, all the architectural drawings, all the permit moving, all the lobbying, do you think it's really over, or do you think this is the Rays management lobbying or positioning here?
Based on the letter that was sent out by the Commissioner of Baseball, I think it's dead, because he basically said in his letter that he sent out this week to the Rays, this is a terrific idea, guys. How in the world are you going to pay for it?
Right. Well, and by the way, it's on Hillsborough County to ultimately pay for it. That's the way it works. If you want a professional team, remember, Hillsborough County does not have a baseball team. Pinellas County has a baseball team. That's where St. Pete is. If Hillsborough wants, everybody knows the Rays would be healthier in Tampa. Tampa's a better market than St. Pete. No, there's nobody that doesn't know that. But it's up to the county to go get the Duval County, we're consolidated, so in our city, the county and the city are the same. But the city of Jacksonville has to work hand in hand with Shad Khan to make all this work. Shad gets that. The NFL gets that. So, and our city is laid out. When that expressway comes down, it's going to cost $50 million. Now, we just saw last week that the federal people are going to help. They've already got state money to help, so they're about there. But it's $50 million. Whether it's all city money or whether it's Mayor Curry lobbying for more money or different kinds of money, it doesn't happen until the city does it. Well, Tampa's in the same position. If Tampa Gibby wants that team, they've got to pay for the stadium, or at least be involved in the payment of the paying for the stadium.
Yeah, the first two paragraphs when you read Manfred's statement, the first one being, okay, I need public commitments of up to $475 million. And then the next part is, I need private commitments in case it doesn't work out, the first part. So it seems like to me there's a lot to run through for them. He really shot holes in the whole proposal.
All right, we got a lot to do. Glad you're with us. It's the Dimnick Tuesday. Thanks for stopping by, Frank Franzi, Hayes Carlion. You'll be here till about 5.
Correct.
We have a special guest that will join us a little bit later on. It may fill in the blanks, a little bit of pinch hitting. That comes up later. We'll talk about that as the show moves along today. So that comes up on the program today, too. We'll talk about a number of different things. I want to get to the Will Grier story, and should they or shouldn't they play in bowl games. We'll get to that later on in the program as well. The Duval County, the state of Florida went to this plan 2 years ago of open enrollment. Okay? Open enrollment. It has been decried across the state. But since the city of Jacksonville, our county, Duval County, had one public school state championship ever. Okay, I think someone told us Gilbert won one in 58 that we didn't know about, but certainly in the modern era. This thing, the state goes to open enrollment 2 years ago, we've had three since. We've had three times as many. Is there a connection? We'll talk about that. We'll get to that coming up. But when we come back, I'm going to start with Blake Bortles. A little different look at Blake Bortles. You know him. A Bortles thought, a Bortles angle that maybe we haven't talked about a lot. All that coming up. Glad you're with us on a Tuesday. Frangie, Carline, and Gibson with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
They had this big thing planned out where, like, you know, they were going to interview a bunch of people and play this video for it because Jarrell Casey won it for Tennessee. So it was going to be like this big thing on Thursday Night Football. And then I got benched, so they didn't play any of it. So that's a cool honor. And I mean, it really helps out my foundation. And, you know, the NFL gives some money. So it was a cool deal.
He's pretty funny.
He is.
Yeah, that's Blake Bortles talking about how they were going to do this big thing, and then he got benched. So Blake Bortles is our topic. Glad you're with us. Frangie and Carline, Andrew Gibson here. All right. Blake's probably gone. He's barring an injury to Kessler or a three-interception half, and even that I'm not sure would do it. He's probably played his last meaningful minute as a Jaguar, right? I think he gets cut at the end of the year. I think that's conventional thinking. In the event that it plays out that way, how's he remembered? Because, look, as quarterbacks that have played here, Mark Brunell is very fondly remembered. David Garrard is moderately fondly remembered. I think they appreciate the fact that he got him to the playoffs and he made a big run and they beat Pittsburgh on the road. And I like Dave. He's a wonderful guy. But I don't think he's on the tip of the tongue of a lot of casual fans the way Mark and Jimmy and Fred and Tony, those guys are. Nobody fondly remembers Gabbert. Nobody fondly remembers Leftwich, whether they should or not. They don't. They don't. Those are the prominent guys, the guys this team drafted. This is different. Yeah, there was some bad Blake, but the bad goes away the longer someone's gone. It can. This is a guy that led them deep into an AFC championship game. This is a guy that's had a 35-touchdown pass season. This is a guy who has been wonderful in the community. I don't know what Blaine Gabbert or Byron Leftwich did in the community, or David for that matter. I'm sure David was very involved. I don't know as much about it. Brunell was very involved. This is a guy that has made a difference in a lot of people's lives because of what he's done in this community. He's the all-time ultimate Hall of Fame good guy. That media award you talk about, he wins it all the time. How's he remembered when it's over? He's cut at the end of the season, and by next year he's the backup in Philadelphia. How's he remembered?
Yeah, I think what you how you led it is sort of where I will go with it and where I think most people will. I think we see the T-shirts, you know, I survived Blaine Gabbert, which are hysterical.
Right.
And the venom that the fan base still has towards Gabbert. I don't think you'll see that with Blake. I do think that there will be more of a, it's a shame it didn't work out, and not so much I blame him for it not working out because of the things you mentioned. You know, he does own the franchise record for touchdown passes in a season. He always handled adversity with class. You never heard anything, you know, in terms of his work ethic, his toughness, you know, can't be questioned. He never missed time. you know, he just wasn't at the end of the day. He's probably one of the top 40 quarterbacks in the NFL, but unfortunately to really, you know, deserve the chance to continue here with the kind of contract that he's under and that you have to be under in a second contract, he's not one of the top 20 quarterbacks. He's probably not one of the top 25 quarterbacks in the NFL. And if you're not that, then you have to move on. So at the end of the day, people are going to label him a bust, I think, because picks either bust or you hit on him. And they certainly didn't hit on him. But I do feel like there is a gray area with Blake in the sense that I think he accomplished more than what the garden variety bust does. The bust usually there's not a lot of positives
right.
that go with that. So I do think that as we get further away from it, Blake will be, you know, will be remembered well here. Certainly, I think at least respected. And it'll be interesting to see where his career takes him from here. Does that change? What if he signs with the Titans?
Yeah.
And what if he has to come in? I mean, we've seen Gabbert play against the Jaguars last year when he played for Arizona. We saw it this year in the Titans game. But they hated Gabbert anyway.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that was just sort of where it was. So,
well, you're going to play against him. If a 26-year-old guy moves on, at some point he's playing against you. You played against Gabbert twice. You played against Leftwich. When he backed up the Steelers, you're going to play against the guy. That the way the NFL works, there's a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a 4-game season. It's a 16-game season. There's a lot of teams, a lot of backup quarterbacks. There's a lot of confluence of who plays who. So if Blake Bortles is cut, and I think he's going to be, and he winds up is the backup in point wherever, at some point, logic tells you you're going to play. You're going to play some series against him. I don't think he's booed. I don't sense that he's booed. Gabbert was booed. I don't sense that. I sense Jaguar fans can't stand Gabbert. In the end, didn't like Leftwich, but don't hate him. You think that? I think he's bumping into a Jaguar fan now. He doesn't hate Byron Leftwich. He hates
right.
playing Gabbert.
Yeah, Leftwich is weird. There's almost just an apathy with Leftwich, is surprising.
There was a belief that he was, you know, the long throwing motion was all the talk. There was also a belief that he was too casual. He was too cool and casual. People believe Gabbert was A, gun shy, but also acted like a jerk. None of that with Blake. Tough guy, loved being here. Just bought a home, bought or built, whatever. Good in the community, was proud of being a Jaguar. Just didn't happen. Didn't work out for him. So I don't know. I think the more I think about this, there's no chance he's on the team, right? I mean, John Osier the other day gave me the impression that he's not 100% convinced he won't be here. But he thinks he won't be here. Is there any chance he's on the football team?
I don't see how, because I don't think this administration to me, there's absolutely no chance if there's a change in the decision makers.
Right.
I just don't see how a new GM comes in and says, I'm going to try and save Blake Bortles. Because I don't even think ownership wants to hear that pitch.
Yeah, I don't either.
You know, I mean, sometimes I think it's you fire the GM and you want to hear your candidate say, I can save your quarterback. I don't think ownership believes it can be saved. So, you know, I would think they would want a general manager that's going to take a fresh approach to it. So that's that scenario. The operation clean sweep scenario is there's no chance Blake's here. If everybody comes back, I still don't think he is, because you're paying $21.5 million to a quarterback who's not in your plans and is you know, as much of a problem as people have with them, you know, cutting him and paying $16.5 million in dead money or being on the hook for it, for him to go away, to me, that makes way more sense than keeping him on the roster at $21.5 million when you really have no intention of him taking a meaningful snap. So I just can't see the avenue in which he's back. I can't see any scenario. I think this administration's done with him, and I think any new administration would be ready to plant their flag on their new guy.
Okay, former Jaguars, recognizable names to Jaguar fans. In whatever order, the big four are first. Boselli, Brunel, Jimmy Smith, Fred Taylor. As far as recognizable former name, recognizable names of guys who played here, the big four stand alone. After the big four, who's the most recognizable name of a former Jaguar? I mean, if you go to Jaguar.
Well, I'd say MJD is
okay,
certainly.
Okay, you know what? You're right.
And Keenan McCardell, I would say.
Okay, so.
To me, it's maybe a top six.
So
and then the drop off.
Okay, you're MJD for sure. You think Keenan too?
I think Keenan. Thunder and Lightning.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, I think
I'll give you MJD. I may give you 5.5. Okay. But let's say it is the big six. Maurice Jones-Drew for sure. He belongs in that category. For me, because he never played in the same era.
Right.
Even though he and Fred were on the same team at the end there, he never played in the Brunel Baselli era. So for me, he feels like he played on a different team with different uniforms.
Sure,
right? It just felt different. But okay, after that, is there a guy that is there one out? And even let's assume Keenan sixth. Is there a guy? Is it Darius?
I would maybe go Rasheen Matthews.
Is it Rasheen?
Seventh.
Rasheen was a better player than Darius, but
yeah.
I wonder if people remember him more.
What about this one for the wrong reason, Justin Blackmon? Because people realized how good he could be.
Yeah. It's a different place. I'm going a different direction. I hear you.
Right.
I hear you, though. But, I mean, guy, you're right. His name comes up in infamy some. But I think Rasheen, Darius.
Paz.
Paz, maybe. Is Paz in that group with – Yes. Paz, maybe. Paz, Mercedes, are they
– Yeah.
They're kind of lumped together. But the point is
– Meester would probably be somewhere in the top 10, 15.
There's a lot of guys like that. There's a lot of Gary Walker, Seth Payne, Ronaldo Wynn. They were on that good team. There's a lot of those guys that I kind of lumped together. But I was going to say after the first four, I completely forgot Maurice Jones-Drew. Sorry, Maurice. He certainly belongs in the top five. Maybe Keenan after that. But my point is, won't Blake Bortles be the most known name even in 2 years as a former Jaguar? Now he'll look like he failed more than the others. The first four won. Maurice didn't really win, but it was widely believed that it wasn't his fault. He did about all he could for that team to win. They just didn't win, right?
Mm-hmm.
Blake's going to be on that list. I just don't think – I guess where I'm going with the whole topic is it's time for him to go, and he had 1,000 chances. So this is – if Blake isn't on the team, it's not that he didn't have his chances. He certainly did. There were too many times – he had too many opportunities to move on from bad Blake, too many opportunities to not have the flutter balls, to not make the crucial turnovers, to not get his team in the end zone. And I think that's fair. Now, he had a lot of things working against him. But I don't think he's poorly remembered.
Don't think he'll be poorly remembered. And I agree with what you're saying. I think he will have some staying power. Is somebody who doesn't really fade out of the fan base's consciousness. But I don't think it's overly negative. It shouldn't be overly positive either. It is a very weird, I think his legacy will be somewhat of an enigma, because I think he'll be remembered maybe more fondly than what the numbers would suggest. And I do think there'll be people that'll be like, look, he threw a bunch of pick sixes you know, he couldn't bring us back from, you know, in the fourth quarter when we were down. I understand that. But I think in large part, you know, he will be remembered pretty well around here. Not so much as a player, but just how he was as a person.
There's a charm to his remembrance.
Right.
There will be.
Yes.
There, whether you liked him or not, there will be a charm to his remembrance, and it'll be – I mean, will he settle here? Will he – he's from Central Florida, so you don't sense that if he goes to Philly, he's settling there, or Kansas City settling there. So it's either here or Central Florida, you would think.
I would think Central Florida. I would think it's tough.
And I don't know him well enough to know that.
Yeah. And you know, I think a large part of it, too, is what happens next. Is the next guy that they bring in to be the guy – is he great? Well, if he's great, right, I think it makes it harder for Blake to stay here. If, you know, if this becomes, you know, Miami Dolphins post Dan Marino,
right,
where you can never find the replacement, then he'll continue to be thought of even probably higher than he is now, because, you know, I mean, look, the next quarterback could be worse than Blake Bortles. That is not out of the realm of possibility.
It's certainly a possibility that the next quarterback doesn't get you deep into the AFC Championship game.
Sure.
That's a real possibility. So we'll see. More talk about that coming up as we continue. Let's take a break. I want to get to the hot seat. Hot seat. NFL hot seat. What coaches might be on the hot seat? Who might be available? College guys in the state of Florida. Is Mark Richt on the hot seat? Well, don't answer. We'll talk about it after the break. Is Willie Taggart on a seat that's hot at all as we move into next season? We'll talk hot seat and more. Glad you're with us. Frangie, Carline, Gibson, and you. 1010 XL 92.5 FM.
Our fans have every right to have high expectation of our program. And I can assure you that no one has higher expectation than I do. We have a proud history and tradition of football at FSU. And it is on our shoulders to carry on the torch. And our fans, students, alumni, former players deserve a team that plays better than what we have so far this season.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Talking a little college football, I do want to thank my friends from Nimnik. If you want an automobile, head to Nimnik today. Nimnik Chevrolet on Cast at Nimnik Buick GMC, located on Olds Highway. I got a question.
All righty.
So I was going to go buy a pair of jeans. When was the last time you bought a pair of jeans?
It's been at least 3 years.
Okay, so 3 years.
Since I personally bought jeans?
Well, just Carrie bought the jeans?
Gotten gifts and stuff. Okay. But yeah, since I picked them out, it's been a few years probably.
Gabe, you go out and buy your jeans? Buy any jeans lately?
I do. I've bought some jeans recently, last few months probably. Yeah.
All right. But I got a question about jeans buying.
Okay.
It's a very important jeans buying question.
You didn't buy skinny jeans, did you?
No, I don't think I could.
Yeah, that's
it.
A perfect thing
not,
to say.
Not that I couldn't pull it off, Gibby, okay? Make sure you're clear, okay? I'm a young 60.
And you're tall.
I'm tall. When did we go to stretchy pants for guys? Stretch waist? You know, like the waist?
Well, not soon enough. My answer to that.
No, that's sort of new, right? Now the expandable waist?
I guess. Is that what they had the place?
Gibby, do you buy pants with a stretchy waist?
I have in the past, but it's just I don't really need that.
Well, no, you're thin and fit. There's no question. But, I mean, for fat guys, it would need it.
No.
Okay. So, do guys not admit that? Do people not admit they got the stretchy waist?
Pants? I used to have a pair of shorts that had the stretchy waist. Yeah. They're the best shorts I've ever
had. I mean, they really are phenomenal. Well, I've had some. Yeah.
So you go to buy the jeans, okay? And now when you go to Dillard's or wherever, they all have the stretchy waist. Well, I don't like the stretchy waist. You know why? Because you buy them. I bought a pair. Okay, I bought a pair of first pair I've ever bought. Mm-hmm. Stretchy waist jeans. Well, they fit until the next day you wear them, and then they're too big. And I don't like the stretchy waist. How new is stretchy waist? Is stretchy waist kind of new?
Yeah, I don't. It's a great question I thought you.
Someone Google it. Gibby, we Google that. When did stretchy waist? But I don't like it.
Yeah, I don't. I haven't seen too many jeans like that. I've seen a lot of like.
No,
I've
they're
seen
everywhere.
I've seen a lot of dress pants that are like that.
So I go out and buy them anyway. So I'm a 36 waist. Okay, stretchy jeans, 34 waist. So I'm clearly thinner.
Yeah.
In the stretch, but I just don't. But when did it become a thing? But not just jeans, like khakis and. When did it become a thing?
I don't know. I didn't know it was a thing.
You know where you haven't been lately? Dillard's. Okay. Okay. That's where you haven't been.
Well, they stopped giving me my free shoes.
Well, I guess maybe that's what it was. But I mean, it's stretchy waist. It's just weird. Guys listening right now, do you buy stretch waist pants?
I would totally buy stretch.
You would.
If I went into the jeans store to buy jeans.
You'd buy the stretchy waist.
I mean, I'd still try them on and everything, but I kind of like that idea.
Yeah.
Because, like.
It's all the rage. Yeah, you got to get out. You got to get out to a Dillard's.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of those things that, you know, if I eat a big meal and I'm in, you know, jeans.
Stretchy waist is better.
I like having the stretchy jeans.
And I'm not too cool for stretchy waist. I'm not cool at all. But there's just, I didn't know. Everywhere they're all stretchy waist now, and it says on our stretch. I mean, the little tag says
the tag.
Stretch. So I don't know. I don't know. Gibby, you've never bought a pair. You have bought stretchy
waist. No, I have. I have in the past. Business Insider wrote an article on it in 2016.
Okay, what does it say, Gibby, that fat guys need stretchy waist?
It's just basically saying that men's pants are becoming similar to women's in one critical area, and that being the stretchy waist.
That's a women's thing?
That was a women's thing. I did not know that.
I didn't know that either.
I wouldn't have known it.
So women... Women.
Well, they've kept that well hidden.
Yeah, you know. I'll go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. Tara's not here. Our friend Lauren Brooks is going to come sit in with us for a while today because you got to leave early.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Brooks buys stretchy waist?
No,
I don't think she's thin. Thin people don't need – so she'd be too thin.
But the way Gibby's making it sound from this article, that almost every piece of women's clothing has at least some element
of
that.
That's what I'm wondering. Gibby, is that – can you confirm or deny?
I don't know. And I'm not sure. I'm not one to speak out of turn, but I mean yoga pants are sort of like that, right?
But that's different.
Yeah, I know it's different.
Yeah, so – okay. Anyway, all right. So there you go.
Certainly men don't do that.
I'm going to ask Brooks when she gets here if she buys – would she admit if she bought stretchy waist pants? Do girls not admit that?
That's what I'm thinking, is that if it really is common.
Yeah, because Brooks doesn't wear pants.
Then they absolutely don't admit it.
Brooks will wear a dress or a pair of shorts in Antarctica. She doesn't. Right. She says she doesn't wear pants. Anyways, I'm just wondering. But they're all stretchy waist. There's too much stretchy waist.
So were you able to find what you were looking for? Did you have to buy stretchy?
I did too. I bought a pair of stretchy waist pants, 36. I bought a pair of regular pair of jeans, lucky jeans that were 36. And I bought a pair of stretchy waist jeans, Lucky Brand, that were 34.
Where are jeans right now with, like, the colors? Like, when you go in there, am I having to buy, like, Def Leppard, stonewashed, knees ripped out, jean colors?
I'm not cool enough to know that.
Well, when you went there, were they, like, normal?
No, they're blue.
Okay, good. If
there were stonewashed holes,
yeah.
I didn't really see a lot of those.
Okay, that's good.
But I wouldn't be cool enough to wear them anyway. All right, Coach is on the hot seat. We heard from Willie Taggart. Is Willie Taggart... How hot is Willie Taggart's seat to you? How warm is it?
I think it's a cool seat because it's 1 year, and I do think that there is the perception that Jimbo Fisher, really set the program back in how he left. And I do wonder how much attention he really put on coaching that 2017 team. So, was it dreadful? Absolutely. I mean, they were 103rd in total offense. They were 126th in running the ball, which is just stunning to me at Florida State. 91st in scoring defense. Obviously, penalties were a huge problem. There was nothing really redeemable about the season. Having said that, it was 1 year, so I don't think his seat is particularly hot yet.
Yeah,
but let him come to Jacksonville in August.
Well, that's the thing.
And lose to Boise State 38-13,
right.
Or let him lose to Boise State 24-23.
Right.
And I think people will start to really panic.
Yeah,
in
because that's kind of the thing, Hayes. Is I think the seat. Let's put it this way: whatever you use to turn up the seat, if it's like a heater underneath the seat, I think someone made sure they have enough gas. Mm-hmm. Okay, I think they've got an electrical plug. That's my point. Before the season, you don't care if you got enough gas in the heater or an electrical plug. I think now, whether they've turned it on or not, whoever's in charge of making hot seats hot has made sure there's an electrical outlet.
Sure. That's
what I think. I think the clock started ticking on him. Look, this is Florida State, man. Florida State has won the percentage of games won by – I don't have any metric for that – but the percentage of games won at Florida State University since 1980, it's got to be as high as any in the country.
They've got to have the best winning percentage.
You would have to think, is percentage of games won in the last 40 years, if they're not first, they're top two or three.
Yeah, because, Miami's had a lull that's longer.
Right.
I'm just trying to go through it. Nebraska obviously has fallen off. They would have been on that list. Maybe Ohio State could possibly... But Florida State, in terms of winning percentage since like 1984, it's got to be top three if it's not number one.
Yeah, because really
they never lost when I was a kid.
Well, so the point is they are used to winning. I mean, at FSU you win. So here comes along a guy. This is the first guy to miss a bowl since 81. Okay, you're allowed a one off, but nobody else had one of those one offs. It's not like they've had three or four of those. I mean, Florida's had two of them in the last 5 years. So I just don't think Florida State's going to tolerate it very long. Hayes, I don't sense that Florida State's going to tolerate, because I think Florida State believes and rightfully shows, so they can go get a good one now. I mean, is he a better coach than Neil Brown? Right now, if you're a Florida fan, would you rather face Florida State coached by Willie Taggart or Florida State coached by Neil Brown, this red-hot coach at Troy who throws the ball over the park?
I'd much rather face Willie Taggart.
I would, too. I'd rather face Willie Taggart than Neil Brown, who would ride a moped from Troy, Alabama to Florida to Tallahassee tomorrow.
Absolutely.
And so for me, And I'm not trying to fire the guy. I just don't think they're going to tolerate it very long in Tallahassee. And I mean, we'll see. And you're right. That Boise game, the Boise game is one you better not lose. Okay. I say this all the time. There's games you win and there's games you better not lose. That's a game you better not lose. Okay. So that for sure, that's a game you better not lose. So we'll see. I don't know. Richt.
Again, he's 52-57 now in his career. Florida State fans, upon Willie Taggart's hiring, sort of glossed over that and said, oh, well, you know, he'll get that turned around. He's not going to be under 500 after his first year at FSU. He's still five games under. He's worse than he was when he got to Tallahassee. Okay. He'd have to win five more games than he loses next year to just become a 500 coach.
Richt.
I think he may be on the hottest seat in America.
See, why? Tell me why.
Well, because I think now you're 3 years in, so right. You're going into your fourth year, and this year was arguably the most disappointing of any team ranked in the top 12 preseason. That what were they, eighth or ninth? Yeah. We said. Yeah. I mean, it was awful. He couldn't, you know, he couldn't find a quarterback that he could get any sort of consistency from. He ruined what was an excellent defense. They're tops in the country in several significant categories. I think Mark Richt's on a very – because I think what you're seeing with Miami, I think Miami fans are starting to see what Georgia fans saw late in it, and that he's a great guy and he's a pretty good coach, but is he the coach for you? Is he the coach – if you've won as many national titles as the U has – is he really your coach?
And I get that, but I think Florida State might be dead. I'm sorry. I think Miami might be dead. Florida State's not dead. Can Miami get better coaches? Now, yeah, they could get Neil Brown, who we talk about a lot. But can Miami get the next best coach? Can Miami get a guy?
Well, I mean, they could have had Mullen, right?
Yeah.
And passed over him twice?
Passed over him because they thought he was arrogant in the interview.
Yeah.
Loretta told me that. The committee thought – so they could have got
– And I'm not trying to sell Dan Mullen as Urban Meyer coming from Utah.
But I can tell you this. Gino told me they passed him because he thought he was arrogant in the interview, and they hired Richt instead and Al Golden instead. And Gino said that people were up in arms when they saw what he did at Florida. So your point's dead on. I think Willie Taggart – I think that seat gets hot at midseason, real hot. I think he'd get fired next year. Now I think he's got to be another. I think if they go five, they win five games again. I think they're gonna fire him. That's what I think if they're 5-7 again, they fire Willie Taggart. Agree or disagree?
If he wins five games, they're gonna fire him.
They're gonna fire him. Yeah, they'll fire him after a second year. So that means the seat's kind of hot again. The guy's warming up the seat. Mark Richt. Does he get fired with a 5 or 6 win season next year?
Absolutely.
You think absolutely?
I think he's got to win 8.
You do to not get fired.
To not get fired. If he goes 7-5 in year 4,
yeah.
I think he gets fired. Yeah. And, you know, and Taggart's interesting because I think 5 is about the right number. I think if he was to go 6-6 in year 2, make a bowl game, boy, that'd be tough. But my guess is he'd get a third year,
right.
Particularly if, you know, let's see what he does in this recruiting class. Let's see what the next recruiting class, how that's shaping up. But I think 5-7 again,
right.
would be certainly difficult. And we haven't seen – the ACC hasn't announced its 2019 slate yet. We know the opponents Florida State has, but we don't know how they're going to line up. We do know that they open, obviously, Boise State here in Jacksonville on Saturday, August 31st. Should be a great game. And we know, obviously, they play Florida in Gainesville. But how that conference slate lines up is so huge because you get that Thursday game, sometimes the Friday game, sometimes like this year they had to go consecutive road games twice.
Right.
The league really didn't do them a ton of favors. They don't get Notre Dame next year. That'll certainly help.
We'll take a break. When we come back, I want to talk about NFL guys who might be out, who might be available. We'll do that in a minute. But more importantly, Get Smart John, our friend, just sent me a text and said he has a pair of True Religion jeans. Is that a brand name?
Sure.
Yes, it is.
Give me how many True Religion jeans you have. You
at this point, I don't have any, but I know it's a brand.
So is that like a hip brand? I mean, John's as old as I am, so John, sorry, you can't be that hip. 97% cotton, 3% spandex.
Nice.
Did it very comfortable. So is it spandex that makes the stretchy jeans stretchy? He said 97% cotton. By the way, I have no idea, but I think mine are 100% denim. Is that the same as cotton?
Okay, my well, jeans is gonna, the... It, I would assume the spandex is only in the waist.
Yeah.
That's what the I have no idea. I mean, what like I'm Ralph Lauren here.
And by the way, I made this comment last year. I was making it in college basketball season. My friend Don Rodriguez reminded me that the kind of pants, the greatest pants of all time were Sansa belts, because Sansa belts had no belt. Okay, you just put that pants on, put those two buttons on, you were good to go. The only people left in the world that wear Sansa belt now are college basketball referees. You ever notice that? you ever watch college basketball?
Right,
Gabe, you ever
notice
that? You ever watch a college basketball game? They're going up and down the floor in their Sansa belt.
Yeah.
Nothing's better than a grown man racing up and down the floor in a striped shirt and Sansa belt. That's what he's got. So, Don, thank you for reminding me of that. We appreciate it. We'll take a break. Hey, we've got our Duval County Scholar Athlete of the Week coming up in about 10, 15 minutes. But when we come back, let's get into NFL guys on the hot seat. Is there going to be a lot of movement before we break? Is there a lot
yes,
of movement?
I think there will be.
Maybe more than we expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of movement. Who might move and who might be available? That comes up in a minute. Frank Frangie, Hayes, Carline, Gibby with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Frangie Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941. Santa Claus, here comes
Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus. Do you do any shop? Are you a shopper? Christmas shopper?
I am. I've tried to get more into the ordering it online.
Right.
Forever I resisted that.
Right.
And then there was something that I had to order last year, and it made like all the difference in the world, and all of a sudden I was like, wow, this does beat like going to all the stores and fight, you know. So I'll have to do some, but I am going to try to get as much ordered as I can order and just have it shipped to my house.
We buy so much stuff from Amazon. Amazon ought to send us to freaking Hawaii, okay? It's unbelievable. There's more Amazon boxes at my front door. You don't see anything like it. So, but I shop for Suzanne. She buys for everybody else. I don't do a lot of shopping. NFL coaches, don't forget our Duval County Scholar Athlete of the Week comes up in just a few minutes after our next time out, and looking forward to that. Our friend Tammy Talley will be in here as well. NFL coaches, who could go this year? Already Mike McCarthy's out,
right,
which is kind of astounding because he's Mike McCarthy.
Sure, and he'll be somebody who I think will have a great chance to get right back in as a head coach.
I do too. I don't think he's got to stop off at coordinator.
Yeah, I don't either. You know, the Cleveland job is open as well. I don't think Greg Williams is going to get that job.
I don't either.
So I think you've got two already. And then I think you look down the line, the Jets, I think, will make a switch with Todd Bowles, who I think is a good guy and deserves another chance down the road. I don't think it'll be next year. I think Cincinnati, you don't hear as much with Cincinnati. They were 5-3. Now they're 5-8. They've lost 5 in a row. So they've had a total collapse. But, you know, Mike Brown's been so loyal to Marvin Lewis.
Yeah.
I don't know if that continues. Cincinnati, though, feels like a team that they really feel like a team almost like, in a sense, like the Jaguars. Like, what's the identity? Where are they going? Should they be committed to Andy Dalton? A.J. Green's getting older. They've sort of wasted, or they're starting to waste, you know, his career. The defense has really become awful, so I'd put them on the list.
Marvin Lewis, by the way, is a better coach now than he was going head to head against Landry and Lombardi. Because it's astounding how long he's been there.
It's amazing.
I mean, it really is. I almost think they need a change. Sometimes it's just time for a change.
It is.
It doesn't mean he's doing anything wrong. It's just they've got to be stuck in neutral at some point. Go ahead.
Correct. And I think another coach that might fall into that category is Ron Rivera in Carolina. The Panthers are 6-7. Again, they were 6-2.
Right.
They've lost 5 straight. You know, so I would put Carolina on the list. Denver, even though they really are still in somewhat of a position to make a run at 6-7, but now they're a game back of the Dolphins, Colts, and Titans and Ravens. That's going to be difficult. I think if the Broncos don't make the playoffs, I think Vance Joseph gets fired. And Dirk Cutter in Tampa, I think
after this meltdown,
they've rebounded okay to get to 5-8. It looked for a while there like they might go 3-13, but I still think at 5-8 with you know, Jameis Winston not coming along as well as they would have wanted, I could see Tampa Bay opening up. So we've already got two, and obviously
seven.
The Jaguars.
If everything you talked about, that'd be 7. I was going to get to the Jags. I don't think the Jags are coming open. I would be really, even if they lose the rest of them and finish 4-12. Now, you told me early in the season you thought 4-12 it would come open, but it doesn't feel that way as it's gone on, right?
Yeah, I kind of agree. I don't think if they lose out, and I had to guess, I would think Marone gets another year.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it, nonetheless, that would be seven jobs, two of which are already open. If seven jobs are open, okay, I'm convinced Mike McCarthy gets one of the other six.
I would agree.
I can't believe that he would. And in fact, if Doug Marone did get fired, and I hope he doesn't, don't think he will, I'd be all about Mike McCarthy.
Sure.
Wouldn't you?
Absolutely.
I'd hire him tomorrow to be the replacement. So I've got to believe some of these other cities feel that way too. Who else is available? You love Lincoln Riley.
Yeah.
You think he makes the move?
I think he does. And again, if the Jaguars do enter into a search, I don't see that being it'd be great if they got him, but I don't get the sense. I think Lincoln Riley is going to have his choice. I think Denver gets interesting because of the allure of John Elway. They do have ownership issues, which can complicate it a little bit in terms of going out for a really big splash hire. I don't know that the splash hire really, other than Mike McCarthy, who I think Aaron Rodgers didn't get maybe enough criticism for that. Aaron Rodgers just may be a bad guy. You know, he's a great player. I think he's the most entertaining player in the NFL to watch when he is performing at his peak. But all the stuff you hear personally about him, and he may just be tough to coach.
Yeah, right.
And so I kind of give McCarthy a little bit of the benefit of the doubt on Green Bay. But it doesn't feel like,
well,
you know, there's really the hot assistants out there. I think you'll see some retreads. I tell you, a name to watch that I think will be interesting is Gus Bradley because of how the Chargers are playing. I mean, right now the Chargers have the second best record in the AFC. Now they're going to be a wild card team.
If they go on a run in the postseason, if they get to the championship Sunday or lo and behold the Super Bowl, I think Gus does get a chance. And there's seven jobs open. I would expect Gus has a chance to get one of those jobs. A lot of people will say, look, Jacksonville was his first time around. I almost sense Jacksonville struggling this year helps him.
Yeah.
I think if the Jags had gone great guns from the day he left and never backed up, you'd think, well, you know what? Gus just couldn't get it done. They needed a better coach. But I think Jacksonville struggles and continued struggles of Bortles, who they've now moved on from, helps Gus Bradley get a job.
Yeah, I think it absolutely could. And again, the Chargers have won 10 games without Joey Bosa for the majority of that.
Right, right.
Now, granted, they've got an unbelievable offense, Rivers and Gordon and Keenan Allen, and they've invested in their offensive line. So I understand that it's a very balanced team. But, you know, he's done great things with Derwin James and you know, they've got a great pass rush. There's a lot to like about what the Chargers are doing, and that's just sort of the nature of the league is you look at the teams with the best records, those coordinators are going to be in the mix. It's just how it normally works. And I do think the fact that Gus has the experience at least I don't think he'll get his pick. You know, I don't think that. But again, if seven or eight open, he's really well liked in Tampa.
Right.
That could be, you know, an interesting one. Although, you know, it's harder for a defensive coach in this day and age, but you're going to see defensive coaches still get hired. There's just not enough spots for every head coaching vacancy to be filled by an offensive mind.
We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk more about that. Also, our Duval County Scholar Athlete of the Week joins us. All that when we continue. It's 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
And now, this week's Scholar Athlete of the Week, brought to you by Southeast Orthopedic Specialists and the Plumbers and Pipefitters Local Union 234 on 1010 XL.
It is time for our Duval County Scholar Athlete of the Week, and what a pleasure to welcome in Muhammad Katter from Lee High School. Hey, Muhammad, how are you?
I'm fine. How you doing, man?
We're doing good to see you, man.
Good to see you, too, man.
Congratulations. You all right?
I'm fine, man. So excited to be here, you know.
Well, you know what? You should be here, and boy, oh, boy, you have knocked it out. Now, you're a soccer player.
Yes, sir.
All your life?
Yes, sir.
Tell us all about it. Where are you from originally?
My parents are usually from Sudan, but okay. I was born and raised in Libya.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How long here?
I've been in America for 5 years, a couple days, you know.
Did you play soccer before you got here?
Yes, sir. Okay. I've been playing soccer since I was, you know, a young kid. You know,
okay. So. Why is soccer special for you?
I mean, I grew up playing soccer where, you know, places full with soccer players,
sure.
You know, country with all soccer, you know, so you just got used to it and all that stuff, you know.
Muhammad, what position do you play, and why did you gravitate to that position?
I play midfield. I play midfield because, you know, I feel it's, you know, the right position for me, you know, able to control the ball, get passes through, you know, to the right person and all that stuff, you know.
All right. You are a really good student.
Thank you, man.
It means a lot to you here. Tell us a little bit. You were telling us during the break a little bit. Tell us about the schools to which you've applied and how you hope that thing goes. I see Stanford on here. That's one of them.
Yes, sir. So far, I'm applying to Stanford University and a couple of schools like Penn State, Pittsburgh, and Tulsa. You know, Stanford been one of my biggest schools, you know, go to, just the environment, you know, even though I've never been there, but, you know, the school just looks so nice.
What made you pick all those? Why Penn State? Why Pitt?
Because they are one of the best schools that offer petroleum engineering.
Petroleum engineering.
Yes, sir.
You guys have a lot in common.
Yeah, we do. I used to be a petroleum engineer, yeah. And then I got into sports talk because it was harder.
He told us in the break, and I had to ask him, is that like mining for gasoline? Because I have no idea.
We had no idea.
Yeah, no idea, but it sounds incredibly impressive.
It really is. How did you pick that?
Well, I really didn't know what I was doing until one day my dad came up to me, and he was like, hey, why don't you do petroleum engineering? I was like, you know, okay, no problem. I'll go for it, you know. Then from there, I just started looking up, you know, searching up all that thing, and I ended up liking it, you know.
Yeah, we really didn't have any idea, and I'm glad Hayes came up with what he thought it might be, and it was correct because I didn't want to guess. Hayes did us a favor by guessing it. But that's really exciting stuff.
Yes, sir.
And that's how you see yourself moving along. Where do you want to settle? Do you want to settle here in Jacksonville? Do you want to settle in America? What do you want to do?
For now, I have no idea, but, you know, I could be settling in Jacksonville or move somewhere else, you know. Right. Don't know really for now, but
do you want to play soccer after high school?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay, so wherever you go, you want to play soccer.
I want to play for Stanford. That's the only reason. That's the only reason. You know, is they're one of my best. You know, their soccer team is just one of the best, man. You know, winning three three times in a row. You know,
NCAA titles.
And Muhammad, you're involved in FCA and 5,000 Role Models. Can you tell us a little bit about those two and what they mean to you?
Yeah. So it's basically just a leadership, you know, program where, you know, we go out, field trips, you know, go to other school, mentor younger kids than us, you know, and all that stuff.
Very cool. Very cool. So that's why Stanford's on here. You're trying to play soccer. Petroleum engineering is good and everything, okay?
Yeah,
I'm trying to play soccer right now.
For first thing, the way that I knew about Stanford was because of this soccer team.
Right.
And after that, I knew about this soccer team, then I looked up when I went to measure in. And this school ended up coming up on, you know, one of the best schools, you know, for petroleum engineering. And so I was, I guess, lucky, you know, just waiting to get in.
One other question. I know you teach soccer at elementary schools, and I really appreciate that because we're involved with helping elementary schools learn sports as well. But you mentor other Arabic speakers. Tell me about that.
People that who was interested in doing Arabic, you know, I went to this school, you know, after school, staying, helping them a little bit. Giving them some words, even though I, you know, help some of my counselors at the school, you know.
Yeah, even help the counselors.
Yeah.
That's very cool.
I have one of my counselors, you know, helping them out, some Arabic and all that stuff, you know.
So you're fluent in Arabic?
Yes, sir.
Can you say the Jaguars should draft Dwayne Haskins in Arabic for us, please?
Can you say that one more time? Oh, that sounded like a lot, you know.
Okay. How about go Jaguars? Can you say that?
Yeah. MCA Jaguars.
There you go. See, there we go. Did it. Well
Very
done.
Nicely done.
Mohammed Khadr. Hey, congratulations. It's great having you. You look like you have a great future. I know you're excited about soccer. I hope you get to play it at the next level and hope all your dreams come. You're a good dude. So congratulations. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, man. Thank you so much, man.
All right. We will take a break. Mohammed Khadr is our Duval County Scholar Athlete of the Week. More coming up. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Every now and then, part of doing a show is we tweet and people jump in on the text line and we get texts from our buddies, right? That happens?
That's right.
And our buddies all know that no texts are off limits. So if you text us,
everything is on the record.
So if you text us, there's a chance it makes the air. I think most of our friends know that.
Correct.
Got a pretty interesting one earlier.
Yeah. Well, well, that was a little different one, Gibby. That wasn't one of our friends. But one of our buddies texted you about the topic of the day, stretchy pants, right?
That is correct. Our good friend Michael Dirocco from ESPN,
love
who
D-Rock.
Joins
who doesn't love
D-Rock? Jaguars.
Is there anybody in the world that ever doesn't love D-Rock?
No, D-Rock is the most empirically likable person in Jacksonville.
Really, everybody loves D-Rock.
Absolutely. So he texts me and says, "I turn on the radio and you're talking stretchy pants."
Right. Well, because it was an important topic. I went to Dillard's and saw stretchy pants.
And that's what I responded with. I said, "It's an important story that I'm sure you've been following." D-Rock's response, as a fat guy, yes, I have.
Well, that's the point. So is the fact that you know, they there's always these stories about America's becoming obese and the super, remember the Supersize Me thing, the
right.
documentary
yep.
that everybody talked about, that
mm-hmm.
the guy
he
went,
ate McDonald's for a month.
Ate the McDonald's stuff, mm-hmm. yeah. So do we have stretchy pants because America's gotten fat? It is important stuff here.
It is. I think we have stretchy pants because stretchy pants are awesome. That's why I think we have stretchy pants.
So there's that too.
Yeah, because I think even if you're skinny, wouldn't you want a little
comfort.
Bit of – yeah.
But don't they slip? What about the slipping?
Yeah, I don't know. I've never had to deal with the stretchy pants slipping.
Okay.
Isn't it engineered? I mean,
we've got petroleum
engineers, but don't we also have engineers
it is all about engineering.
Keep the integrity, the mechanical integrity of the stretchy
seam
pants.
Integrity, yes.
Yeah.
So anyways,
I would think once you wash them 1,000 times, then maybe it starts to wear out, but that's, you know.
Okay. Anyways, all jeans have stretchy pants. And what I didn't know is that what Gibby told us earlier, that it's the women's pants. Women's jeans have been stretchy for a long time.
And see, that's sort of a game changer.
Yeah, it is.
Because they've hidden that. You know, do not go.
Yeah.
I will tell you this. I am not going to go home tonight
right.
and ask Carrie.
No.
Do you have stretchy pants in the closet?
No. Right, no.
Yeah.
Because number one, the money, first of all, I know you saved a lot of money. You make a lot of money. You're a big money maker. But the money that you'd have to spend on the divorce attorney by asking the question.
Right.
Okay. I mean, you'd be making Kenny Lay some money?
Sure.
Okay. Men only.
All right. The only time that stretchy pants at least in my experience, that women acknowledge it is the maternity. Then the stretchy pants they openly discuss the stretchy pants while pregnant. But that's my only experience with it. But maybe we should talk to an expert about it. I don't know.
Look who's here. Speaking of experts.
Hello, gentlemen.
How you doing?
I'm great, thanks.
Our friend Lauren Brooks. Okay, our friend Lauren Brooks is in the house.
I made it.
Do you wear stretchy jeans?
So let me clarify something for you two very fashion-forward gentlemen.
Were we off
this
the mark?
This won't be the last time this happens.
There's a possibility it exists we were off the mark a little bit here.
No, so when you hear, at least for chicks, stretchy jeans, it doesn't mean that the waist is the only thing that's stretchy. It means that instead of being tight denim that doesn't really move with you and, you know, expand when you want it to, stretchy jeans means that the denim, yes, has spandex in all of it.
Oh.
So it's not for, like, chicks who are like, oh, I had too much beer last night. I really need my stretchy waist.
That's not it?
No, it's not at all.
But did you know?
They're more comfortable because they
move. Did you know men now have stretchy?
I did not know that.
I went to Dillard's and they have the jeans. Are like
But you're talking about just the waist, right?
I think.
Yeah.
Isn't it just the waist?
That's what I thought you were talking about.
Yeah.
Well,
I don't know. Because I don't know that we've gotten smart enough to put it all over the garment.
No, I think
that seems like something the women are ahead of us on.
Until you said that, I don't know. All I know is I'm a 36 waist, 34 in stretchies. Okay, so obviously I
heard you say that, and I thought I
got a little thinner. Is what happened.
The men's apparel now has figured out how to make gentlemen feel better about their sizes. Like a long time ago, they figured it out how to make us feel better.
I got thinner. Is what happened. So there you go. Hey, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Just stopping by. You were bored. Is that what happened?
Yeah, you know, Helmets and Heels coming up a little bit later, built by Dream Finders Homes, and I was absolutely bored, so I figured I'd swing by here on my way there.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
That's pretty awesome.
I heard Hayes is dipping.
Yeah, that and the other thing is she's going to say, hey, dumbass, you asked me to come at 4:30. Okay, so there's also that. We got news?
We do have news.
We got news. We have news?
Big news.
It may be the worst kept secret in radio history.
Probably.
Possibly, but our friend Lauren's going to rejoin us.
That's right.
I'm really excited about that.
I'm excited as well. Thanks to you gentlemen for having me back.
And you did a wonderful job with our boys in the drill. Dan and I were talking about this morning. They loved having you, but we lost two. So what one person can fill two people's roles, you're the only one we could think of.
Yeah, the one who started talking when she was 6 months old and never has stopped.
Never even really slowed down, actually. So
yeah.
Lauren, for people that don't know, Lauren was on our show for a year and a half, went to work in the morning. And Tara came here, and Tara did a magnificent job. We love Tara. I talked to Tara today, in fact. But Tara realized she's pretty busy. And she realized busy enough that our listeners needed someone here more often, and that was Tara's idea. And at the same time, Brent had to leave because of his company. And Hayes and I said, what do we do? And I think we both said, joking aside, I think we both said, let's call Lauren. Let's talk to Steve, see if we can have Lauren back. So there you go.
Absolutely. So now it's exciting.
So we're excited. We're stuck with her. This is the only thing. Once we commit to it, we're stuck with her now.
Remember the time, I think I called myself a show humper on accident. I meant to say show jumper.
Oh, that's right.
Brent's never forgotten.
Yeah, great. And so I thought that was appropriate to bring up today.
The show humper's returned.
Show humping again.
The show humper's right back in the fold. And Hayes has to leave because Avery's got a singing thing, which is
correct.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Christmas stuff,
that's
I
right.
bet.
Yeah, Christmas. Yeah. Night of the Arts at Liberty Pines, so that should
That'll
be
awesome. That'll be awesome. So Lauren's going to stay with us till 6 o'clock and then drive 7,000 miles an hour to Dreamfinders home. Not really. We're just kidding about that.
Oh, yeah. No. I drove 7,000 miles an hour here.
Yeah, okay.
I don't slow down
for Dreamfinders.
I don't understand why people have no place to go.
Well, let me tell you one thing that happened. Because you texted me, you were running a little bit late. I'll defend you a little bit this. If you're not used to driving a certain direction at a certain time.
Right.
I do the podcast with Hicken at 10:05 every Monday, and Hicken will tell you I'm always late. It's like every time. I'll send him. He's probably got this list of texts on his phone. 5 minutes out. 5 minutes out. 5 minutes out. Because I'm not. Even though there's not all that much traffic at 10 o'clock in the morning, I'm not used to driving down Beach Boulevard at 10 in the morning.
Right.
Going west.
And I don't usually go home in between shows, even though I've got a while. I usually hang out somewhere around this area, so I don't have to go all the way to the beach and all the way back. So I just assumed I'm going against traffic on my way here, and it's 4-something. Oh, it's 4 o'clock. It's fine time to just mosey on. And I was like, get out of my way. I have to be on the radio.
Yeah, because truthfully, when you're in a hurry, everybody drives 1 mile an hour. The whole road. You ever notice that? They all drive 1 mile.
And even to turn left, you know, they put their blinker on and then they brake and they don't get over in the left turn lane. That drives me insane.
All right, we're going to take a break. Lauren's going to stay with us the rest of the show now. So in case you're wondering, she's not starting tomorrow, by the way.
No, I'm squatting in the morning until December.
So I think our New Year's Eve show, which will be live from the Gator Bowl, that's when Lauren officially starts with us. And again, I can tell you now, I spoke with Dan today, spoke with Jeff a lot at the party. They loved having you. You did a great job on their show. But we were in need, okay? We were in need, so you're kind enough to come back and return to the afternoons. We're excited. And again, I think that's the worst gift. I had text, Brooks is coming back, isn't she? I had more, Brooks is coming back, isn't she, text. And I texted them all back, said, you don't know that. And most people said, yeah, I kind of do. So I think it's the worst gift. Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to get into a lot of topics. I want you to weigh in on Hugh Freeze, Lauren. I haven't heard your take on that. I want you to do that. We'll do that throughout the course of the rest of the hour and a half. We got one more segment with Hayes. UCF, do they go to the Big 12? Is Florida right or wrong for doing the 2-for-1? And is UCF right or wrong to be upset about that? We'll get to that. Got a lot of fun topics all coming up. So we're glad you're with us. This is 1010 XL and 92.5 FM.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
Hey, glad you're along for the ride with Hayes Carline, Andrew Gibson, and Lauren Brooks is going to be with us today. And then on a full-time basis starting on December 31st. We're very excited about that. So good to have you back, Brooks.
I heard the Tax Layer Gator Bowl is having a little party for us on New Year's.
That's why they're holding the game. They heard it was your first day back full time, so they said, look, we'll put on a game, we'll invite people to come, and we'll invite Cole Swindell, with whom you broke bread, hung out,
well,
spent time. Let's go with break bread. Okay, so there you go.
I interviewed him in a very professional media setting, but I would have way rather had the Miller Lite that I heard he had on his plane.
See, there you go. So there's that. Let's start with UCF. UCF to the Big 12, now or never. Stuart Mandel writes that this is the time. If not, then they're going to be stuck in the American Athletic Conference. UCF is dying to get into a big conference. They'll take whoever calls them among the Power Five. Is this the time the Big 12 should call them, or should they say no?
I think they should absolutely invite UCF, but I think they should put certain conditions in so that UCF has to be in the league for a little bit before they get full access. There should be sort of a, yes, you're in.
You can't play for a title right away.
You're in the, well, I don't even care so much about – I think they should be – if they're in the league, they should be able to play for the title. But I'm talking about money distribution and things like that. You know, maybe that there's a little bit of a – you know, earn your way in. I guess what I'm saying is the Big 12 has all the leverage. So I think there's a benefit in adding UCF for the Big 12, but they shouldn't just invite them and give them everything that the other members get, because UCF's in a position where they have no leverage. You know, they are desperate to get into this league. So give them an offer that, you know, makes them have a 3-year, 5-year period until they get, you know, full, you know, membership benefits financially.
What I don't know enough about with UCF are the other sports programs. When we talk about conferences, everyone takes a look at football, right? Because that's the powerhouse sport. But there's so much more involved in an athletic program. And I don't know if UCF is on par with the other sports, the men's basketball, women's basketball, and baseball and all that other stuff. So I think the Big 12 has to factor that in. Like you said, Hayes, they have all the leverage. UCF, though, if I'm Danny White, I'm doing whatever in my power I can do, talking to the boosters and students and trying to make sure that we put forward the front that absolutely we want to join the
Big 12.
Yeah,
see, that's the question. Does UCF take the lead on this, to your point? Does UCF say, look, we don't got to get in? I like your point about you're in, but there's got to be a grace period. There's a probation period. I get that. Lauren, I don't know if it's as much about the other sports. What everybody wants is all these conferences now want you to match up academically. I can tell you the Big Ten is coveting Georgia Tech, coveting. The Big Ten would dump a team to get Georgia Tech. They want the Atlanta market. They want the South, but they want academically. There's this thing called the Alliance of American Universities or the Association
right.
of American, the AAU. There's like 64 schools in it. Every school in the Big Ten's in it. And the Big Ten doesn't want any school that's not in it. The SEC only has 2 schools in it, Vanderbilt and Florida. So it's a big deal. So they need to line up academically. But you're right. To your point, does UCF now step up and quit talking about being the national champion? Quit talking about we've won 25 in a row. Does UCF step up right now and say, hey, Big 12, now's the best time to come get us? And maybe they do. And maybe they take the lead.
And I don't know. I know Florida and UNF are 1-2 in the state as far as how difficult to get in academically. I'm not sure where after that UCF falls to be able to help with the academics.
Yeah, and I don't know where the Big 12 prioritizes that or not. As a Florida graduate, as a very proud graduate of the University of Florida with your 3.93
very obnoxious
grade
and
point average, 3. I know it's 3.93 because you've told me that 74 times. Or is it 3.94? I think it went up. I think since you started telling me it went up.
I don't remember now.
It's like the defensive back that ran a 4.6, but every year it becomes a 4.5, then a 4.4, then a 4.3.
When you're as old as I am, you have no idea how fast that fastball was you struck the guy out with.
All I know is just be glad it wasn't a 4.0 because then it would be something I would say all the time.
That I believe. Okay, so what was it? What was it, Bishop Kenny?
Like 4.4 something.
Lord knows I've heard that too. Okay, so but
you asked me. Still on my resume.
Florida doesn't want to go home and home with UCF. Agree with them?
I do because of the nature that UCF has enveloped its football culture with. I think they've gotten kind of too big for their britches in a sense, and Florida's going, hold on a minute. You just got to the party. We've kind of been here all along, and we do still have the ability to dictate what we want for our football program.
Yeah, I think UCF is being ridiculous with this. I mean, if Florida offers you a 2-for-1, you take it.
Of course you take it. Of course you take it. And I think to your point, Lauren, I don't think the reason you offer the 2-for-1 is because UCF has gotten too big for his britches, but the reason you make it very clear it's a 2-for-1 or we're moving on to USF is because UCF has gotten too big for his britches. I don't think there's any question about that. So I do. I think UCF, what in the world would keep them from taking that? Number one, you're going to be probably on ESPN playing Florida. Three, you worry about you can't get good games. People say your schedule's not. This is guaranteed 3 games against what's going to be an upper echelon SEC team. I can even see if there was some trepidation back in the Muschamp and McElwain days, right? Now you know you're going to be playing a top, what, 10 team, right, probably? How in the world do you turn that? See, so don't be stupid, UCF. And our UCF fans hate you. Like, UCF fans really hate you. But they kind of hate me, too. Okay,
they hate all of us Florida people or Florida State.
But joking aside, UCF fan, don't be an idiot here, okay? This is 3 guaranteed games that college football playoff group is going to notice. You know what else? I think by the time that 3rd game happens, it'll be an 18 playoff. Do you think that?
Yeah, I certainly think there's a big chance of that.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it doesn't make any sense. UCF is trying to operate in an environment where they're equals with these programs, and they're not. That's just how it is. You're not Florida's equal. You're not. You're not Florida State's equal. You're not Oklahoma's equal. You're not Texas's equal. You're not. You're going to have to pay certain concessions to join the party. Apple doesn't, you know, go out of its way to help some startup computer company. I mean, that's what this is. If Apple is letting some startup company into its room to talk, that startup company better get in the room and talk and accept whatever conditions that they put on the table.
Don't you get
the sense, absurd.
Don't you get the sense that the minute they lose a game, all this goes away?
Absolutely.
Don't you sense that?
I do, and I think, honestly, a lot of even their star power went away a little bit when they almost lost to Tulane and when they almost lost to Memphis. Maybe not as much Memphis because they had the backup quarterback in, but you saw Tulane run all over right. them. So UCF is trying to use the argument, we're a top 10 football team, so we don't have to do a 2-1 with you, 2-for-1 with you. The problem is you're a top 10 football team because you don't play anybody right now. You can't use that argument. Get into the Big 12 and be top 10, and then you don't have to do a 2-for-1 with Florida.
And that's exactly right. Once you get in the two, if you're in the Big 12, then you'd be crazy to do the 2-for-1.
Right.
But until you're in a Power 5 conference, Danny White should have signed it by now. If it truly, and we don't know if it was truly on the table, right? But if it was truly on the table, you should have signed it by now.
Well, and to think that Florida's going to feel bad about this, Florida dropped Miami.
Yeah.
Florida's not going to feel the least bit guilty about not playing UCF.
Did you see Tony Barnhart's tweet about it? The dialogue? He said he did a dialogue of like a conversation. I won't get it exactly right, but essentially he said, UCF, hey, can you play home and home? Scott Strickland, how about 2-for-1? UCF, but we really want home and home. Scott Strickland, 2-for-1's our offer. UCF, will you reconsider? Scott Strickland, sorry, I got to go. USF's on the other line. That's the deal.
And USF accepted the 2-for-1.
Well, of course they would. They did with FSU. I mean, of course you accept the 2-for-1. So be careful, UCF. I do think UCF should go to the Big 12. And you make a good point, Lauren. I don't know how they're. I'm like you. I don't know enough about UCF's basketball or baseball is pretty good. Baseball would fit in. I don't know. Although the Big 12 is a very good baseball league, I don't know their other sports. I don't even know how many they play. But I think for football reasons, they should go. They play the same style. Remember that the last two coaches now at UCF that built this thing have Big 12 roots. Scott Frost, who obviously has ultimate Big 12 roots, and Josh Heupel, who came from Missouri in the SEC most recently. He's an Oklahoma quarterback who coached at Oklahoma. So they play the same way. The reason UCF hired Josh Heupel to replace Scott Frost is he played the same way. So they play the same way. Right now, if UCF was in the Big 12 right now, I'm not sure they'd beat Oklahoma. Might beat everybody else. Texas?
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. Texas, West Virginia, Iowa State.
They're just like West Virginia.
I think they're 6-3, 7-2 in the Big 12.
Yeah, what about it? Who do they beat? Who do they beat?
I don't think they could beat Texas after watching Texas, Oklahoma.
Middle of the pack? Hired upper tier?
I'll say middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack. Let's take a break. You're off to see Avery sing. That is
yes,
awesome.
Thank you. I'm looking
video,
forward to
please.
It.
Yeah, absolutely.
You're not a good father unless you've got shaky video.
Shaky video is the best video. Lauren Brooks will be with me the rest of the hour. Then she'll be skedaddling over to do her third show of the day. That'll be Helmets and Heels. We'll be back. I do want to get to the Hugh Freeze thing and a whole lot more. Glad you're with us, Lauren. We'll take a break. This is 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
The Frenchie Show on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Here, that means it's time for more football.
Football!
Hush. Football at 5.
5 o'clock somewhere.
On the Frenchie Show.
Hey, we're glad you're with us. Hayes Carline had to take off. He is with his lovely daughter, Avery, who has got a Christmas concert tonight, which is a cool thing. Frank Frangie, Lauren Brooks here with us. She'll be here with me today. And then she will finish her duties through the end of the year. People have some vacations and whatnot. And then she will join us on a regular basis.
What are vacations, by the way? I don't really know.
Yeah, you don't take many vacations, do you? I give you hell about
a lot of
stuff.
It's always a New Year's resolution,
yeah,
right?
I mean, sometimes we just get tired. Can I tell you to go because we're tired of you?
Yes.
Can you leave, please?
Yes. So, Brian does that a lot.
Does he now? So, a lot of things to talk about, but Lauren will be with us as we move forward. So we're glad you're with us on the program here on 1010XL 92.5 FM. By the way, the whole stretchy pants. Were you listening during the stretchy pants thing?
I was.
See, I didn't know. Did everybody know that men have stretchy pants?
Well, I didn't know until today.
I only knew about the
female version.
I mean, do you ever buy Brian jeans or anything?
No.
Okay, so you wouldn't know. He buys his own jeans.
That and, you know, he's kind of like me. We're kind of team no pants, team no jeans unless absolutely necessary.
Yeah. So he wears dresses and shorts too.
So, no, not exactly.
Oh, yeah, okay.
He wears board shorts, baggies, almost every day.
Someone texted me, one of my buddies texted me when I said I didn't know that women had the stretchy pants.
Mm-hmm.
And my buddy goes, you've never bought Suzanne a pair of jeans? Absolutely not.
No way.
I will jump in front of traffic before I risk that.
Yeah, you have to be very careful women clothing.
Because
if you get the size wrong.
In a million years.
Always go smaller.
I mean, 27 years, the next 27 years, I'm not buying her a pair of jeans. Lauren Brooks with us. Glad you're with us. Hugh Freeze is coaching again.
Yes.
Lauren, you and I know each other pretty well. So you've heard me tell the story of getting to know Hugh Freeze.
Mm-hmm.
Terribly nice guy. I think he's a deeply Christian man. I believe that in my heart of hearts. I really do. He also has admitted to the fact that he called escorts on the road on his school-issued phone, I assume, to have sex with escorts. Okay? And I mean, that's what he did. He came clean when he was caught.
Mm-hmm.
He was willing to walk away he didn't fight him for the payout or whatever. He was fired for cause, so they didn't know him his salary, the rest of his contract. Everyone knows the story by now. Hugh Freeze has since come out and said, I had a problem. I've dealt with my problem. I've dealt with it with counselors. My wife is standing by my side, which she has said too. My children are standing by my side, which they have said too. I trust my Lord. People may not believe that, and that's okay. This is where I stand, but I'm working every day to correct the problem that I had. I hope I get another chance because I'm a better person than I showed. People that know him rave about what a nice guy he is. I can tell you, I've told a story. I guess I should tell it very quickly. I don't want to bore people with stories over and over, but we were working a game in Baton Rouge, Ole Miss, LSU. We did not get our opportunity to meet with him the day before the game like we were supposed to. So we're out on the field. He's walking with his daughter, and I went up to him and introduced myself. He couldn't have been more engaging. I walked into the locker room with him. He told me kind of what the game plan was. He went on and on. One of the nicest men I've ever met. And he didn't. I'm the national radio guy. Nobody even knows who the radio guy is. You know, everyone knows who the local radio guys are. Everyone knows who the national television guys are. And the local radio guys, just other than the fact that I was working with a Heisman Trophy winner, but no one knew who I was. He could not have been. Followed me out. Said, "Is there anything else you need?" I mean, I've told you that story, Lauren. I've told it on the air because I was so taken by the story.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really nice guy. Doesn't change the fact that he went on the road and went to Tampa and was calling escorts while he was recruiting. He's getting another chance to be a head coach, which means the face of a program. Did they get it right or not?
I didn't think he would get that opportunity that soon. I thought for a long time programs would think, well, we just can't trust this guy because he lied not just to his wife but also to other coaches and his administrative staff. So I think, though, that we've learned that in football, if you're really good at your job, you're going to get another chance. That being said, if I had a son who was getting ready to go play college football, I would not want my son to go play for Hugh Freeze.
You wouldn't. You wouldn't let your son play for Hugh Freeze.
I wouldn't just because there are so many other options, and I would want the head coach, and I understand he's saying he's prayed through all this and his family has really, you know, come through it all with him, and I understand everyone deserves a second chance. But I think the head football coach has such an impact on young men's lives that at some point I don't want my son to be around that. Even though I know it was in the past, I still think that it can affect the way that he treats women or the way that he handles his business on the road.
I'm still
going to wonder when my kid's with
well,
him
that's right.
if he's going to be calling the escort on a different phone. He might have learned not to do it on the school phone.
Well, and by the way, the difference between is he not going to do it anymore or is he just going to do a better job of getting away with it? Everyone's going to have that question.
Sure.
See, I think you have the majority opinion. I think what you said is what people think, and that is, he's just going to be more careful. I don't know, but I don't feel the way you do. If I had a kid that played football and he was going to Liberty or wherever and I had a chance to play for Hugh Freeze, I'd probably want to look in his eye.
Sure.
You know, I'd want to look in his eye and I want to say, okay, you got to tell me about this. And because I do think Rick Ballew and I would disagree with this all the time. Ballew hated it. I don't put words in Rick's mouth, but I worked with Rick for 7.5 years. Rick hated it when rehabilitated drug guy would go be a spokesperson for not to do drugs. You know, the guy would go to jail or whatever, and then he'd come out, and part of his community service was to say, don't do what I did, right? We all see the drunken driver guy that we hear the commercial.
Mm-hmm.
My name used to be Eric, now my name is 5746, whatever. Mm-hmm. Well, and Blue said, let good people lead our young people, not people that messed up before. And I get that, but I don't know that I agree with that. If Hugh Freeze is legitimately rehabilitated, and by the way, my opinion is biased by the fact that I met him two or three times and really like him. Anybody that says your opinion is not biased based on personal experiences is lying.
I bet you put cheating on his wife with these escorts in a different category than maybe some of the things that Bobby Petrino did or Rick Pitino or...
Yeah, cheating's cheating. I think Pitino's a different... I'm glad you compared him. Bob Petrino, I don't know, but I think he's a jerk. Now, I probably shouldn't think he's... I don't know him. I've heard too many stories. I heard stories when he was a coach here with the Jaguars. I've heard too many stories of the way he treats people. I got one or two stories I wouldn't even tell on the air. That just what a bad guy he is. So I feel differently. But it's the same, just to your point. You know, Pitino always kind of liked, but I thought he was slippery. When I heard that Pitino had an affair at his restaurant with someone that worked there on an Italian restaurant's white tablecloth, was anyone surprised?
No.
No, we were surprised. Whether it's true or not, I wasn't surprised. Petrino, I thought, was a jerk. I don't know that I thought he was a philandering jerk until the story came out. I just thought he was an angry, mean guy. Hugh Freeze, it really surprised me. That's the one that surprised me because I met him. So I think probably knowing him affected it a little bit. But I do think there's times when a guy can be rehabilitated. And I think because he's rehabilitated, he can have a positive effect. Now,
I think I would like 5 years in between incidents and also obviously recruiting violations and all that thrown in the mix too.
Yeah.
And when he's getting the head coaching position.
Yeah, your point. You want to know for sure.
Yeah.
And your other point was good too. I mean, there's a lot of other options. Why am I risking it with this guy when there's a guy over here that has no issues?
We're lucky in this business, right? We get to meet a lot of football coaches from high school to college to NFL, and you know the ones that you want your kid to spend time around, and you know the ones that kind of leave you questioning. And I get the first time you met Hugh Freeze, it was not like that at all. But now knowing all this,
right,
I think you'd approach it differently.
Maybe I would. I don't know. We'll see. Of all the guys, I think I buy what he's saying. And maybe I'm naive and I'm a dummy.
Sure, and
but I think I buy what he's saying.
I'm sure you've read the quote that he had in his press conference, the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He's the only one I've ever met who can handle my junk. If you know somebody else that can do that, I'd love to meet him.
Yeah.
So he's obviously saying, look, life can be messy and I need a savior and, I'm not perfect in any way, shape, or form. And I appreciated that part of it, absolutely. But I still think it's just too recent for me.
Yeah, well, and I think there's some people that think he's full of crap, and this is all a game. This is a charade, and he's using his Christian faith to cover up the fact that he did bad stuff.
I don't think the wife and family would support him if they felt like
they
that.
Certainly don't think that.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what he winds up doing. All right, we're glad you're with us. Other topics I want to get to. Let me reset from the 3 o'clock hour. All right, now look, you and Blake, you weren't a big Blake guy.
I was very hard on Blake.
Two years ago,
I covered the team before Hayes got here, and I was in that locker room basically every day and at the stadium obviously every weekend, and I didn't like what I saw from the quarterback.
Didn't think he was any good. You and everybody else didn't think he was any good. Then last year, did you come around at all last year?
Absolutely.
Because by last year, I thought he was going to be a pretty good player.
By last year, especially in December, that Seahawks game and then the postseason game against the Bills, you started to kind of question it again. But then he went on the road to Pittsburgh and obviously played really well. I started to think he's still never going to be that quarterback that you want to model after when it comes to throwing motion. But he's finally had the game slow down for him enough to be able to go through his progressions and throw guys open and... He's finally clicking with this group of receivers. Maybe Allen Robinson was a little bit of a guy with the wrong attitude, and now he's got a really good mix, and he's on his way to do some great things. And he outplayed Tom Brady for the most of that game.
The game did – that's a good take. The game slowed down for him. He didn't look overwhelmed. That happened.
And then 2018 happened.
Yeah, but here's my take on 2018. Someone asked me – someone said, what really happened? When the Jags don't play, I do this thought the morning after. I tape all these tweets that are so dumb and people probably like scroll right past them because I do like 50 of them or whatever.
Yeah, I don't think that's the case. I think people read like one.
But I, so I, so I, but I, when I but I got through what happened. So here's what I think went wrong, okay? Here's what I think went wrong with the Jaguars. I think, okay, A, they underdeveloped their roster at wide receiver, tight end, and running back. You can't be deep everywhere, but you got to try to be. So they clearly were not deep at those spots. Wide receiver, they had one guy that was pretty good in Marquise Lee, two guys in Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook that might be good one day, a free agent who did nothing in Indianapolis and Dante Moncrief, and that was it. And that was their wide receiving core.
And then they drafted DJ Chark.
And they drafted Chark. They went and got out one tight end who had a very low yards per catch average in Austin Seferian Jenkins, who might be okay, and they built nothing around him. In an era when people have three and four tight ends, the Eagles won the Super Bowl. They had a team full of them last year.
Yeah, three of them.
And so
you don't count Niles Paul in that.
I don't count.
Nor Koyak, he was supposed to really be a special teamer.
Right, so I don't count. So they had one receiver who's pretty good and a bunch of maybes. They had one tight end who's a maybe and nobody else is any good. And they had one downhill runner. At least last year they had Ivory and Fournette. They were kind of protected. This year they weren't protected. They had T.J. Yeldon, who's a third down back, and they had a change of pace guy who's very fast but wasn't running between the tackles and Corey Grant. So they did not protect themselves at those spots, and they lost every guy. Now, that losing the every guy is bad luck, right? But not protecting yourself, that's on you. So first is they lose all these key guys.
Well, and I think they were wrong about guys like Keelan Cole.
Way wrong about Cole.
And before Austin Seferian Jenkins got hurt, they were wrong. They were wrong about Dante Moncrief.
Didn't Austin Seferian Jenkins... Correct.
Wrestle a ball away from anybody.
Yeah, Dante Moncrief's not very good. Didn't Seferian Jenkins just feel like he was just a guy even before he got hurt?
Yeah.
He certainly wasn't running any seam routes, and he wasn't stretching the field. So anyway, so they were wrong about those guys. So that happened. So now they're asking their quarterback to carry him. Well, he's not that guy. Blake can make enough plays when everything else is going right. So the people that are anti-Blake might have come out and said, you know what, that's not what you want. You don't want a guy that's okay when everything else is okay. You want a guy that's good and can elevate. That's where the game is. So what went wrong with them? They underdeveloped their roster at those spots, all got hurt. That meant that Blake Bortles had to now carry the team. He's not good enough to do that. So he starts playing poorly. Well, the more poorly he plays, the more he starts losing confidence and the offense starts losing confidence. That means the defense is on the field more. All of a sudden, why is the defense not getting takeaways? Well, I'll tell you, when you get takeaways, when you're ahead. They're never ahead. So now the other team doesn't have to play desperate. So now the defense gets frustrated. Now the defense is frustrated with the offense. So the defense starts playing more poorly. And the next thing you know, it all blows up. And I think that's what happened to the 2018 season.
I think you're giving the defense a little bit of a pass. We saw a lot of miscommunication at times that we didn't see last season. And a lot of the key guys are there.
Yeah, that's conventional thinking. But they went in that Tennessee game, right? Third in the league in total defense, fifth in scoring defense. With an offense that punts it every other down, that's pretty good. So, but I think your opinions, many have that opinion. So.
I go back to the Chiefs game, the Cowboys game, obviously. The Cowboys game wasn't necessarily on the offense. The Chiefs game probably a little bit more on the offense. The defense just looked horrible against the Cowboys.
But the offense had four first downs in one of those games in the first half and five in the other. If your offense isn't on the field, your defense – any offense – Britt and I went back and forth on this. Okay, you agree with him. In today's NFL, if your offense isn't helping some, your defense is going to collapse. But neither here nor there. Back to Blake.
Sure.
So Blake goes bad, and now Blake's probably played his. You agree? He's played his last meaningful down here.
Like you said, unless there's some injury to
injury, four interception half. He's probably played, and he's probably cut after the season.
I'm not even sure a four interception half gets
maybe
him
not
back on the field,
and it might not. How's he remembered? You heard us do at the top of the show. How? Because people hate Gabbert. People kind of hated Leftwich. People like David Garrard because he's a nice guy and he won a playoff game. But I don't know that people have these fond, wonderful memories of David. They like David. He's a good dude. They love Boone Brunel. Blake goes, and next year he's the backup in Philadelphia. How's he remembered?
Well, it's funny. I think he's remembered two different ways. If he doesn't play again ever, I think that changes the memories of him. But as of right now, using your scenario, if he goes to Philadelphia, I think people remember him as the guy that they wanted so badly to be good. And they went through a phase where, you know, everybody called him Beach Bar Bortles, and everybody just thought he was...
Which I thought was a bunch of crap, by the way.
Yeah, but skating through his time as an NFL quarterback. And then all of a sudden they realized how much work he's putting in, and he was starting to look a little bit better, and the team obviously made it farther than it had since the turn of the century. And so I think they love, most people love his humor and his ability to be self-deprecating, even in the worst of moments. He's never thrown any of his teammates under the bus. But at the end of the day, he wasn't good. And I think the name Blake Bortles will have that stigma of it was the team was so close and yet fell off the face of the earth. So I heard you guys ask, does he get booed when he comes back to Jacksonville? I don't think so. I think he gets applauded if he's on another team when he comes back to Jacksonville. If he never plays again, I almost think he becomes like Steve Bartman for the Cubs in Chicago, like this person that people 20 years later will talk about, like, oh, whatever happened to that guy?
I think, and I never answered how I think. I asked Hayes and I've asked you. I think he's remembered very fondly here. Not kind of our, when Rex Grossman goes and plays for an NFL team, Florida fans kind of think that's our guy, right? It's kind of your, I root for Will. You root for Will Greer or no?
Yes.
Okay, I root for Will Greer because he's kind of our guy,
Because I heard McElwain ran him out of town.
Yeah, right, which he probably did. So, I think I think that's different. I think there's a group of Jaguars fans that just despise Bortles, despise the mention of his name. They're mad he got to play this long, and they can't wait to run him out of town, and they will boo him no matter what. There's a collection of Jaguars fans that falls in that category. I think there's another group that thinks they're a really good guy, tried his best, never threw a teammate under the bus, as you said, was so involved in the community, really cared about the city.
He just, his foundation just put out that he was going to match up to $15,000 of funds donated to the family of the officer who just lost her life in the car accident.
And what he does with the ARC, I mean, he's very involved. So I think when Bortles is gone, Lauren, I think people will say, you know what, wish it had worked out here. He tried his best. He never snapped at people like Gabbert did. He never seemed so aloof, and he didn't care the way people thought. Whether Leftwich really felt that way or not, that was certainly the perception of him. I think Blake Bortles, when he's gone, will be appreciated. No one will think he's good. Now, if he goes somewhere else and becomes good, that may piss him off.
Yeah.
If he goes somewhere and leads someone to become suddenly a good quarterback, that may piss people off. But it's one of the most interesting departures of a Jacksonville-based athlete I can ever remember.
When I was in Philadelphia talking with some other media people from around the country, one guy said, I think you take him out of Jacksonville and you give him a really good quarterbacks coach and a really good offensive coordinator.
And some receivers.
And put some weapons around him. I think he could be he was never going to say franchise, but a very serviceable, great manager of the game and serviceable quarterback. And I kind of said, well, here's the problem. It's the turnovers. Even when things are going well, he still has a proclivity to turn that football over, and that's always going to be a problem.
You know what also hurt him, too, is his bad looks so ugly. The bad throws, the balls that hit the guard in the back of the helmet.
And for a 6'5" quarterback, why are you having so many balls deflected?
Well,
what are you not seeing?
Well, number one, the ball drops down too low. I think part of it is
the motion. Yeah.
And you're right. It's what he's not seeing. Tom Coughlin told me, I asked Tom Coughlin this in 95.
And that sounds like a long time ago now.
Just the 19.
Anytime
right?
You no matter start what else with I 19. Said, 19.
Well, not all of us are 12 like you. I asked Coughlin, 95, 96. Someone I said, Mark Brunell claims to be 6'1". There's no chance. Okay, so I think Brunell's about 6 feet tall of that. And I asked Coughlin, I said, now, and back then, Bisselli was the left tackle, 6'7". Ben Coleman was the left guard, 6'7". Brian DeMarco was the right guard, 6'7". Leon was shorter, and Dave Waddell was the center, 6'7". He had four of his linemen were 6'6" or 6'7". So I said, how does Brunell see over him? And Coughlin said, that's his job. It's his job to find throwing lanes. If a 6 foot quarterback is trying to play in a league in a game where taller quarterbacks generally are better, it's his job. And so, and I've never forgotten that. I remember the conversation we had about that. Fast forward all these years since you became a grown up to Blake Bortles, and he probably has not done a good job of finding whether that means it's sidearm, adjusting your arm motion. So anyway, got to go to break. I think Blake Bortles will not be hated by this community when he's gone. And I do think he'll be gone.
I certainly hope not, put it that way.
Well, take a break. We're going to talk Will Greer when we come back. I want you to recap kind of your trip to the Army-Navy game. Was that cool?
Army-Navy extravaganza.
I'm so jealous. I'm mad at you. I'm mad at Rue. And every time I saw those pictures, I said, gosh, this is cool. And I hate him. Because that's one of my – it's a bucket lister, right?
Absolutely.
We'll talk about that and more. Glad you're with us. It's 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
More of the Frangie Show now on a Nimnik Tuesday. Nimnik, your friends in the car business since 1941.
All right, one more segment to go on the program here. Hacker Nation's came in there. See, Hacker?
Hacker Nation is a busy man. He joined you guys on the podcast earlier today.
He was a star of the podcast. He was a bigger star than me and Hicken.
Understandable. Yeah, so, he's a bigger fan than the two of you combined.
He certainly is that.
He did all the Facebook Lives after the games this year.
He's a freaking star, Brooks. Yeah. That's what he is. I don't know how many stars you know. You know one, Hacker.
Media mogul might need to be transferred.
It might be. It is time now for our Community Hero. The Community Hero is brought to you each day by our friends at Center State Bank with 7 locations in Jacksonville and St. Augustine. And they also always reach out to and recognize people in our community that make a difference. How about my buddy Alan Verlander today, who has started Airstream Ventures? They're putting on the Fortegra basketball tournament that starts this weekend. I'm going out there Friday. I'm looking forward to it. 8 of the best basketball teams on the First Coast. We've needed a basketball tournament of this ilk. We finally have it because one of the first things Alan did when he left the Jack Sports Council to go to Airstream is to put together a basketball tournament that people pay attention to. It's going to be a really neat deal. It's paid at Episcopal all week long. So congratulations to Alan. He is our community hero today. It is brought to you by our friends at Center State Bank. All right,
yep. Midday Chalk will be there live on Thursday.
How about that?
Broadcasting. And then we will have a doubleheader both Thursday and Friday beginning at 6 p.m.
That's so a lot of hoops on the air. Give you make a, you on the call on that?
We are. Tyler and I are doing the games.
Another group of media moguls.
So you don't play-by-play, Gib?
I am.
Are you bringing the heat?
I always.
Lauren, have you heard Gibby do play-by-play?
Of course I have. Really good. I played Gibby's final call of the Mandarin win multiple times yesterday.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Yeah. He did a great job.
Coming for your job.
There's no question. I'm nervous he's doing such a good job. So, Gibby did a great job on that.
Thank you, guys.
All right, so you and Rue got to get in your little plane, and you got to go to the Army-Navy game, which I've never freaking been to, and you got to see all the stuff. I was so freaking jealous, but you have a blast? Was it like a blast?
We did. We had an absolute blast. And so the way that it happens is—
Did you get to eat a lot? Was the food free?
The food was free.
Did you get to drink a lot?
Was
the
drinks,
were they free?
Drank plenty of drinks and ate plenty of food. It was all free. So what happens, 1010 obviously carries Navy football games.
Yep.
And we are a big Navy market, Jacksonville is. And so because of that, USAA, who puts on the Army-Navy game, they're the title sponsor, they take 31 radio stations with an affiliation for Army or Navy, and then they put them up the entire weekend. They paid for all of the logistics as far as the plane flights. They schedule it all as well. So not only is your trip free, but also they do all the work as far as the scheduling goes. So you get an email that just says, here's your flight, here's your hotel, we'll pick you up from the airport, we'll take you to the hotel. And then the rest of the weekend we've got planned, and so it was great. I had never been in the city of Philadelphia, just flown through it, and so I got to go to the Rocky Steps for the first time.
That's cool, isn't it?
That part's cool, yeah, see the Rocky statue. We went near the Liberty Bell, but then Lauren Rue found out, I'm not the biggest sightseer, right? I'm much more, let's find a local pub and let's find the local grub. That's much more my scene. Lauren Rue really wanted to do some sightseeing, so I told her I was game for like an hour.
Right.
So we did the Rocky Steps.
How charitable of you.
Went to the Liberty Bell. We didn't have much time.
What a giver you are.
Yes, that's what I do. And so luckily our Uber driver said, okay, the Liberty Bell's in that building and you'll get your tickets right in there. And Lauren Rue was like, you have to pay to see the bell?
That's not right. You can't pay.
And the Uber driver starts cracking up and she's like, you have to pay. And she's like, oh, never mind. We're not going to the bell. So then we went to a place called Reading Terminal Market.
Yeah, I saw someone tweet you to go there.
Yes.
And then you went there.
And so a bunch of people told us, because I kept saying, I've had enough cheesesteaks, and I've been to the steps, and I've now been around the bell. Give me something else. And so, yeah, that was a really cool place to go. And then we went to a really cool restaurant called Old Town, and they shuttled us there. And then Saturday, we were up early, went in the shuttle to the actual stadium, Lincoln Financial Field, around 9 a.m. And then we were able to be on the field for the two different march-ons where
which is really cool.
The cadets and the midshipmen each go out. They basically there's probably about 100 of them, and they fill almost the entire field in their formations. So that part was really cool. There was a country concert, which
You didn't enjoy it, did you?
50 media people that were there, I was definitely the only one who knew who Lil Cash was.
You got your picture taken?
And the only one who was excited about it, and I marched my little very cold Florida behind over to the stage and stood outside while they played, and that was
did
fantastic.
Rue go with you?
She did, and she actually really liked them too. So, yeah. Right. So that was great. And then went up to the press box, and luckily we got to sit inside, and then watched, of course, Army beat Navy. And then that night we went to Xfinity Live, which is basically what we were told, very similar to what people want in the Jacksonville area, correct, right next to the stadium, is
Ballpark Village is just like that in St. Louis. I saw Ballpark. So it's in fact, the pictures you showed, it looks like Ballpark Village in St. Louis.
Yeah, it was fabulous. There was live music. There was a mechanical bull.
Yeah.
There were,
did you ride the bull?
I did not.
Why didn't you ride the bull?
We were upstairs because, again, private party
I
over
wanted
here.
So many pictures of you riding the bull. That bull would have thrown
I
you so
I have ridden
fast.
A mechanical bull before.
Did
I
did it throw
just,
you? Did you
no,
go flying?
Of course I made it 8 seconds.
No, you
come on.
Did.
Yes,
threw,
I did.
It threw you all.
At 8 seconds in Gainesville, I made it 8 seconds. I'll have you know. But, yeah, and so it was, you know, because, of course, everybody fills out as soon as the game's over, and they all fill into this place, and everybody's excited. Mainly the Army people were excited. But, you know, it's super cold outside, but nice and toasty inside, and it was this gigantic party, and a live band was setting up, and it was we ended up leaving before the band started, but they had tons of live music, including Bruce Springsteen and his famous Christmas song. And then we went out to like an Army after party after that, and then finally back to the hotel. So
like
it was
a
whirlwind. It was so much fun. I have, you know, a lot of people in my family have served in the military, and so I already had an appreciation and respect for the military, but it certainly deepened with this trip and getting to see. We were on the field when a lot of people were kind of whispering about some things that were going to go on with the president, obviously being there, and Secret Service was everywhere.
Right, I bet.
And then they were going to elevate one of the generals to Joint Chief of Staff. And so there was a lot going on, and it was really exciting.
Brad Nessler said, I watched the game. Brad Nessler said at one point during the broadcast, he said, they showed the flyover and the march on. And he said at one point, he said, you know, the beauty of the Army-Navy game is you could be entertained the whole time you're here and not watch the game. And I thought you guys, he talked about the pregame stuff.
Yes.
It was real cool.
Then after the game, we got to go on the field. I forgot this part. And so the big thing for them is sing second. Okay. If you're singing your alma mater second, that means that your football team won.
Okay.
So it's a big deal to these two programs to have their alma mater second. So went over and everybody gathers all the players and they sing
after
to
the game.
Yep, they sing
and
to
you
the
guys went down there?
Absolutely. And the midshipmen are playing their alma mater for the Navy. And then Army goes over, and then, of course, the Army crowd was so loud. And at the end, they say, beat Navy. And we got to be on the field as they were presented the trophy, Army was. So the access was incredible as well.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, it's America's game. I've got very few bucket listers that when you're old like I am, you've done most of the stuff. I've got very few bucket listers that I really want to do. I want to go to the College World Series. So somehow I missed it. It's amazing that I've all these years.
I think you blame your daughter for that, right?
I do. No, I blame my wife.
Oh, that's right. Wedding, baby.
Absolutely, wedding. I'm still mad at my wife about that. But I've never been to the College World Series, and I want to go to the Army Navy game. It's America's game. It also has gone back and forth. Navy won that game 14 years in a row. Mm-hmm. Now Army's won the last three. For you and me and our friend Ian Shields, the football coach at JU, and maybe he knew him anyway. But I know it took on meaning for me watching the game, Lauren. And for people that don't know, Lauren, Ian Shields and I did a show called Inside Military Pigskin this year. You can see it on YouTube. It's a great show, so go watch it. Go search it. But we did it for the Armed Forces Television Network so our troops all over the world could keep up with their teams. A very special show that just reviewed those games. And I was honored to do it. I know you were. It was a real fun show to do. But because of that, I knew the names of the players. Otherwise, I wouldn't have known the Army or the Navy.
Oh, yeah. I leaned over to Lauren and I said, Darnell Wolfork is the best guy in Army.
Right. You knew him and you knew Kelvin Hopkins.
Of
and we knew Zach Abey.
And Malcolm Perry. Malcolm Perry.
So we knew those guys. And so I said, I'll bet Lauren is loving this.
Yes.
Because of that. So I'm glad.
Well, it was funny, too. You know, I told the USAA people, I said, I did this TV show this season for the first time. Inside Military Pigskin. It's presented by Navy Federal Credit Union.
Yeah,
and they started laughing. And I said, well, because of that, you know, we didn't really talk about Army Navy.
Right.
And they were like, you know, that's crazy or whatever. Yeah. But they kind of looked at me like, is she a traitor? Is she coming from the wrong camp? But the game itself, certainly, you can tell. I mean, just watching the cadets and the midshipmen in the stands, this is the best 3 hours of their life.
That's right. That's right. And it's deserving. All right, let's move on a little bit. We've got a few more minutes with you, and then we'll turn it over to, well, you. and you and your friends at the – and by the way, you're at Dreamfinders Homes, right?
We are at Dreamfinders Homes Stadium Home 2.0, which is inside Gate 4 at TIA Bank Field. And the ladies are going to kick off the show without me as I travel over. But more importantly, we are going to be in the midst of a big realtor Christmas party. So there's going to be a lot of people and a lot of fun stuff going on.
Alcohol? Free alcohol?
Dreamfinders always serves their guests.
So you do well.
Beer and wine and food.
You find the free liquor, Brooks. I've noticed that about you. I'm going to start hanging with you. I noticed that part. Other topics in the news. Will Greer is going to skip his bowl game.
Yes.
You're probably weighing in on that tonight, but I'm going to jump it a little bit. Right or wrong of him to do that? You have an opinion about it.
I understand why he's doing it. In the spirit of college football, it's not what I wish he would do, but as someone who understands that I can't make a business or financial decision for someone else and I get to make those myself, I certainly cannot criticize him. We've watched guys whose careers have been maybe not fully derailed, but certainly they haven't gone according to plan because of injuries in bowl games. And yes, the quarterback is the guy for the most part who survives unscathed. But again, I'm not going to make that decision for him.
You're okay.
Absolutely.
I think it's his right. I'm not debating what you said. I think it's his right to do it. I would not go up and call him a traitor or a bad team guy. I think he probably worked as hard as anybody did in the offseason and spring practice and those brutal summer workouts. And he elevated West Virginia to a special year that they don't have without him. And from what I'm told, he became a little better leader and a better guy, and he's going to be a very good NFL player. I would not fault him. I freaking hate it. I freaking hate where we've gone is, and again, I don't fault him, but I hate that it's gotten to this to where guys choose not to play their last game to not get injured.
Do you hate that Michigan's Rashawn Gary is not playing?
That one I like. I'm glad about that. That one I'm happy about because I want to beat them. I want to beat that Wolverine butt. Okay, so
exactly.
But seriously, Lauren, I hate that the game's gone there. But
you understand because he's not playing for a national championship.
You know, but that's bunk. That part's bunk.
Is it?
Yes, that part's bunk. I think if the game was a week later, they'd be playing it. I think it's because it's a month later and it's practice and it's time you can't go train. As much as it is about injury, it's more about the time you would be training, getting ready, doing whatever you do,
right,
catching your breath.
We hear rookies say the longest year of their life is the year that they go finish, whether they're a junior or senior, they finish their final year, then they have the combine prep, and then they have the training camp and rookie minicamp and training camp and all that stuff. So if this gives him a little bit more time to be able to prepare for the combine and relax a little bit, isn't that a good thing for his future rookie season?
But it's awful for college football. Yeah, it's all good. I wouldn't indict him, but I hate that we've gone to this. I hate that we have gone to where, and what it is, it's college football or certain players saying bowl games don't matter. Saying it's my friend Pete Prisco and I go back and forth. He calls them exhibitions. Well, there's not an exhibition. College football is a unique dynamic, okay? It's a different dynamic than any other sport in that either you make a tournament, which is now – we finally have a tournament, albeit as small as it is, four teams. Or if not, you just get a reward game at the end. But the reward game at the end has always mattered. The fact that reward game – and maybe it's because we have too many of them. I don't think we have too many of them, but maybe it's because we have so many of them that the reward game doesn't matter anymore. And I think part of the crux and importance and charm of college football is that bowl game and your fans traveling and you get that bowl trip. Again, I'm not going to ever – indict somebody for doing what's now kind of in, and that's protecting your value. I get it. I get it. But I hate that we've gone there. By the way, there's been this NFL draft. The NFL draft isn't new. College players going to play in the NFL isn't new. They've been doing it since the 30s, all right? So it's not new. Why all of a sudden are they – nobody skipped a bowl game up until 4 or 5 years ago. Why now and not 20 years ago? Were we just smarter? Maybe.
I think the bowl games, even 4 or 5 years ago, mattered a little bit more to fans and to programs,
probably,
to recruiting.
Probably.
And you are seeing these guys realize how much money they could be missing out on if they aren't drafted in the top three rounds because of an injury.
The first thing you said is more the latter. They've always realized that, Lauren.
But the money's gone up drastically, too.
That's relative because it's been incremental. The first thing you said is that bowl games don't matter as much. Fans don't go like they used to go. Ask Rick Catlett that story.
Right, so fans aren't going to harass him on social media they would have social media had been around 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think people understand it. Again, I'm not going to say, I don't understand why he would do it. Of course I understand why he would do it. If it was my kid, I might encourage him to do it. I get all that. I'm not
skip it.
I'm not debating it. Right. I just hate that that's where it's. I hate that that's where the things wound up.
Sure, I could say to you too. That's why a lot of people nowadays don't play two different sports, is because they're afraid that one sport is going to get them injured. And when we were growing up, everyone was encouraged to play as many sports as possible. Unfortunately, now that's not the way it works, and a lot of people have to pick a sport when they're pretty young because their coach says, "No, you're not playing anything else." They are totally focused on one sport, because they're already concerned about right. future earnings when they're 7 years old.
Right, yeah. So I get all that. I understand all that. I just don't like it. My problem is I don't like it. You know what? I don't have to like it. I'm mad about it.
Can I just say this is chalk it up to you being old?
Yeah, it is up to me being old. You know what? But here's the deal. My old isn't changing, so I'm still not going to like it. Hey, thanks for talking about it. It was fun.
Thanks so much for having me.
You heading downtown?
I am. I'm going about 5 minutes away, and I'm going to go be entertained by the ladies.
Drive safely. And the next time we see you, it'll be December 31st.
That is totally not true. I'll see you tomorrow.
Good point. But other than that, next time they will hear you with us is December 31st. Bad news for you.
Yeah.
Then you're stuck with us.
Yeah, man.
I wouldn't wish that on.
Thanks for having me. Certainly, as much as it's been an absolute blast to be on the drill, I'm also super excited to join you and Hayes again, too.
We're excited as well. Go ahead. Go drive safely. With that, we'll do this.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings have you covered from head to toe and especially stomach. Order your office event or tailgate catering today online at moescateringfl.com.
All right, I'm not happy with Brooks because she got to go to Army-Navy. I'm not happy with Rue because she got to go to Army-Navy. I'm mad at both of y'all. How you doing?
Frank, let me just tell you what. You think you can just take all the co-hosts? We got a show to do here at 6 o'clock. You've already taken her and kept her too late. We're going to have to start the show without her. I don't know who you think
I'm
you are
hoarding
anymore.
People. That's what I do
You're
right
hoarding
now.
Hoarding people. I see what kind of clout you have.
What's coming up tonight, Lauren, down there at the stadium?
Yeah, we're down at the Dreamfinders Home 2.0. It is a jam-packed house tonight, so we'll have lots of folks to entertain. Of course, we'll always talk to Ashlyn Sullivan. We'll give away that chocolate heel. But the conversations today are going to be about the Jaguars, the future of Leonard Fournette. Does anybody want him? Is he worth keeping around? Are the distractions and this undisciplined team, is he part of that problem? We'll get into that. Plus, we're getting closer to Christmas. I don't know if you realize that, Frank, but there's like 14 shopping days left before the big jolly man brings presents, and some of us haven't started our shopping, so we got to figure out that as well.
All kind of fun stuff coming up. It is Helmets and Heels live from Dreamfinders Home Stadium Home, and it comes up in just a bit. Thank you, Lauren.
All right, Frank.
All right, we are almost out of time. Gib, you got a giveaway? Are we giving something away here?
Yeah, we're giving away some tickets this week here on our program. A pair of tickets to see Who's Live Anyway. That's coming up with Drew Carey on January the 10th at the Florida Theater. We'll take caller number 3 right now.
All right, caller number 3 right now. We're almost out of time, but we do want to remind you, don't go anywhere, because the ladies from Helmets and Heels are coming up right now, live from Dreamfinders Home at the stadium. Thanks to our friend Lauren Brooks for stopping by, and we're thrilled to have her back on the show. That starts on December 31st. Thank my buddies from The Drill for letting her come back. We appreciate that a great deal. That's going to do it for our program. I'm Frank Frangie. For Hayes Carline, for Lauren, for Gibby, have a great night.